Good evening, brothers and sisters of the Leaf. Coming to you live from the land of cheap whiskey and heavenly hooters, it's the Tuesday Night Cigar Club Podcast. Tonight, the boys are up to their elbows in Mexican standoffs and American fake boobs. Sweet, pendulous American kayfabe tatas. As they review the fleshtastic late-night western film, The Rowdy Girls, while smoking the delicious Bella Artes cigar from A.J. Fernandez and slamming down pint after refreshing pint of Naked Nun Vid Ale from Adelbert's Brewery. Speaking of naked nuns, it seems this movie stars two former Playboy playmates and a penthouse pet. I hope our gang of horny comancheros keep their frankenbeans safely tucked away in their saddlebags, if you know what I mean. And if you don't know what I mean, franks is a euphemism for penises, and beans is another term for, anywho, folks, sit back, light 'em up, and enjoy the show.
Boys doing all right?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Fantastic.
I was realizing on the way out here, we missed Cigar Club last week for the first time all year. We met first Tuesday. We didn't have Cigar Club.
Yeah. It's all right. I was there. I mean, you know. Didn't you just sit outside?
I miss it all.
Tud had to go hang out with his other friends.
I miss, and it all goes to hell.
I feel like I haven't seen you guys in eternity. It's been nice.
Well, it was very productive last week.
Yeah, 3 days of recovery. I saw you moaning on Facebook. Our friend Mr. Tuttle across the table went on a fishing trip and got back home. He's moaning on Facebook about all the fattening food he ate and just how guilty he felt for eating like a 16-year-old again.
Oh, I don't feel guilty about it. It just sucks having to eat vegetables again.
Yeah, we are adults. I was the only time I really felt guilty about eating something, because God knows we've all had our share of Brazilian steakhouses where you walk out and you want to like cover your face and not let people outside see you walking out. No, when I was a kid, I lived for a little while with my aunt and uncle right before I moved to Texas. And she baked cakes. I never really had sweets around the house because Grandpa's a dentist, brother's a dentist, mom was a dental assistant, so we never had sweets. So whenever I'd stay with my aunt, you know, she made cakes, I'd kind of go into her icing stash and just, I'd go crazy. And one night I went to go get some icing and there wasn't any. She hadn't made any pre-made icing. So I was digging around in the, she had a fridge downstairs just for baking stuff.
Yeah.
And I found that I was probably, I don't know, fourth grade? How old are you then? Eight? Six, eight, nine-ish?
Yeah, about four. Third, fourth.
I found a freezer bag full of white chocolate dicks. Like little penises. I'm guessing they were for like a bachelorette cake, maybe? Or
can be, yeah.
Or maybe two dudes were getting married. And this is the 80s, though. I don't think that was... I'm guessing it was for a bachelorette or something or other, but I remember finding this bag of dicks.
And literally, I found a bag of dicks.
And I ate one, and it was so good.
Eat a bag of dicks. Okay.
Before I knew it, I had ate the whole fucking bag of dicks. And it was like 2 days later. I felt really bad because I knew that those dicks had a purpose. And like 2 days later, like the whole, like for like 48 hours, it was like, what was that Poe, the Telltale Heart? I just heard those dicks pulsating in that bag. And every time she'd come down, because she cooked upstairs, she'd come down to that refrigerator. I'd be like, oh, shit. Like, now's the, you know, I
find this. Erect stands the penis nevermore.
And it was like on the third day is when I left. And, like, I thought, I was for sure she came down. And I'm sure that was the day she needed that bag of dicks. And
well, maybe she was like, who took my bag of dicks? Well, I'm kind of embarrassed. I can't ask anybody about it. It's the 80s. We didn't do bag of dicks back then.
I did a bag of dicks. I ate a whole bag of dicks. I went from eating a big bag of dicks to you welcoming me into your tablets and earbuds every other week here on the Tuesday Night Cigar Club Podcast. Don't stop believing, boys and girls. It can happen to you, too.
That is a Dick's to Riches story.
How's that for opening?
Inspirational.
Thank you. I think so. Welcome, everybody, to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club podcast, episode 49.
49.
We're one away, boys. We're one away, and then we're done with this thing.
Are we?
Yeah.
Are we?
Awesome.
Are we?
Well, if not, I need to know. I've kind of already prepaid for the assassins. For you two. I'm continuing solo.
Oh. Well.
Tuesday Night Matt Cade Club. If you guys want to join, I can also cancel the assassins.
Yeah. If we're just going to be around a table talking about you eating a bag of dicks all night, not sure I want to be
you're
on that.
Sure, but
wait
you're
a
not
minute,
sure
I am on that podcast.
I'm not going to talk about eating a bag of dicks for at least another 10 minutes, I promise. At least not until we get past tonight's cigar. But no, thanks everybody for joining us. Man, just the three of us again. The doctor will definitely be here for our 50th episode.
Is the doctor still around, or is he?
Oh, he's
like,
around.
Has he been sequestered?
I can't get into that. Okay. But he, barring some unforeseen,
I saw he did a post the other day.
He did a movie review. On
the life.
Site. Looks like he's gonna be doing a couple more of those. Maybe some pre-release stuff before it hits.
Yeah, I kind of liked his article. I've been contemplating about doing it, and you know, there was like some questions I had. There was some preconceived.
Like, oh, going to see that?
Yeah,
movie?
going to see it. There were some preconceptions that I had, like, you know, mm-hmm. I could see just in the trailer a lot of John Carpenter in it. I could see, you know, a lot of aliens in it. And, he hit all those notes, kind of talked about it. It was
pretty good. The doctor does very unique reviews.
But he also didn't spoil it, so that was kind of cool.
No, he does not spoil anything.
So I can still watch it.
He spoils a lot, but not movie reviews. But no, he'll definitely be here for 50th, and we may have a special guest. Our first time to pull up a fifth chair to the table. We'll see. It's not confirmed yet, but we shall see.
Okay.
Is
it Booger from Revenge of the Nerds?
I can neither deny nor deny.
Hmm.
I got that wrong. I can't confirm or confirm that because it's not Booger. Sorry. If you're listening to us right now on iTunes or your favorite podcast hub, switch over to the YouTube channel. You got to see our little Western outfits we're wearing tonight. We look so adorable. Tut's got his 10-gallon cowboy hat on.
Well, you said, well, when I got the email, you said that we're doing a country show, and so I missed the country and Western show. I kind of like blotted in. I was like, it's time to gear up. So I broke out.
Is it like a Batman suit in the cave?
Exactly.
Like
I broke
the Travis Tritt cave. It's like still suspended in glass.
Here comes the cowboy hat, the frilly shirt. The cowboy boots just kind of come together on
around
me. Got
the Travis Tritt hair in there? No. That's merch.
There was a time. I was ready to go. It's showtime.
If TT couldn't come on stage, some of us had to step in and lower the lights. Tut's going to be TT tonight.
I'm sorry. That's T-Square.
Did you guys call? Oh, T-Square. T-Square. Okay. But no, to turn us on YouTube. Yak Boy's got a cute little vest on there. What is that in the back? Is that suede? No,
it's just
the cotton blend. Nice. It's very nice. Now, why did you have that vest?
Why did I not have this vest?
I sent you guys a text. I'm like, Tut, you need to wear a cowboy hat tonight. Yak Boy, I want you to wear some type of Western vest. And I just knew in my gut you guys would come through. I've got a little Pearl Snap shirt on.
I was about to say, you look like every Red Dirt band out there.
Is that good?
Sure.
Do I look like Eli Young?
So Eli Young?
He's playing across the street here in a couple weeks. I don't know who that is. Anyway, I'm going to go down that alley. Partners.
By law, we have to tell you.
You know, we were so enamored last episode with the cowboy real estate agent. We've all kind of admitted before the show, because we haven't seen each other, that we've been talking like him for the last 2 weeks.
That was from The Devil's Candy. If you haven't seen that episode, go check us out.
We do have the show in the cowboy real estate guy's voice. And I'm sure it'll make an appearance tonight.
By law, we have to do this voice at least once a podcast.
But yeah, tonight, we always get a huge reaction, and our numbers spike whenever we do a Western. I'll be very curious to see if this episode follows.
And this breaks the tradition.
We'll get to that in a minute.
I was telling you about the marketing term fall off, drop off, and bounce rate. Expect those numbers to go through the roof.
I should have been paying attention. When you start talking like that, I just... let's talk about cigar. I'm really, really excited about tonight's cigar.
I see who made this.
Yeah, you didn't before. I had to. All,
whatevs.
I'm like, look at the name down there. I'm like, oh, hey, I like that guy. Last episode, we were like, you know, you tend to prejudge things. Oh, I get this horrible reputation for... You just did it 2 minutes ago.
I confirmed that remark.
As an internet cigar reviewer, you should really knock that off. reviewer and / expert. We don't have our music yet. So quiet. I was alone with my own thoughts there for a second. It was terrifying. Tonight's cigar is the Bella Artes by AJ Fernandez.
The beautiful what? Artist?
Bella Artes, which means fine arts.
Fine arts. Okay.
It has a very ornate...
old school band.
Old school band with a painting of a woman. Very cool looking. Little Cupid up in the upper left-hand corner. AJ Fernandez, he got one of our top five sticks, not last year, but the year before, the AF1. He makes some of the most popular cigars in the world, actually. From the New Worlds are really popular these days.
I love the New Worlds.
I know you're a big New World fan.
I think that pound for pound, that's a great stick.
A lot
for
of people
money.
Love the Diesels. He makes a full line of Diesels.
I didn't realize he made those.
Yeah, he makes the Diesels. He also makes our friend Robert Holt's Southern Draw.
Southern Draw. Those yes, he does.
Those are done in
out of the Fernandez house.
Out of the Fernandez house.
Yeah.
A couple other manufacturers are slipping my
mind
right now.
I like the Kudzu, the Firethorn. Firethorn, I actually kind of like. Yeah.
The Kudzu. That's a good one.
It's a great name. I love it.
Yeah, I said it right.
Yes, you did. You said it like a Southerner.
I always call it Kudzu. Longest time.
This Kudzu is ridiculous.
I thought Robert was very nice, not to correct you when you would say, "Hey, do you just have that Kudzu?"
He knew if he just kept giving me enough moonshine, eventually I'd say it right. And smart man. Is the Bella Artes is the short Churchill? It's a 6x48 we're smoking.
Okay.
It is, like we said, made by AJ Fernandez at his gigantic, monstrous factory in Nicaragua. Wrapper leaf, it's a hybrid. I'm going to get more to that in a minute. He actually created a unique tobacco no one's ever experienced for this cigar.
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Genetic engineering.
Is this tobacco leaf 182?
No.
I'm done.
8212.
Oh! Not the dreaded 8212 series.
Well, I'll tell you what. From our knowledgeable friends over at Famous Smoke Shop, let me read what they have to say here. Bella Artes cigars are a true testament to the fine art of cigar making that comes from the gifted hands of none other than AJ Fernandez. Decadent and superb in rich flavor and aroma, these box-pressed cigars are blended mostly with Nicaraguan long fillers from AJ's farms in Esteli, Condega, and Jalapa, plus some Honduran, and a naturally sweet nicotine-packed viso from Brazil. I like some of that. What makes Bella Artes cigars even more unique and complex is the Havana 92 Black Varietal Binder from the Quilali region of Nicaragua. Oh, yeah, you say it, asshole. Q-U-I-L-A-L-I.
Q-U-I-L-A-L-I.
Quilali?
Quilali?
Quilali.
Sure. I've heard it both ways. Actually, I've never heard it before.
Actually, that's in
this.
The notes. Famous is like, you say it, asshole. And the proprietary AJF hybrid Rojita wrapper.
Rojito.
Which is a cross between Connecticut 8212, Corojo 99, and Havana 2000. Three different seeds.
So you got Connecticut, Corojo, and Havana that have been like, interbred.
Spliced together to make a new super leaf, the likes of which we've never seen before.
Nah.
Sounds kind of cool to me. I want the same old shit I bitched about last week.
my brain's telling me to reject this and be critical of it. I'm trying to be open-minded, though.
Well, get this, yeah, boy. This is where you're going to get excited. Notes of cream, butter.
No.
Cinnamon. Sweet cedar. At first I thought it said sweet cheddar. I'm like, oh, cheddar cheese.
Sweet cheddar.
Sweet cheddar.
It's like an 80. Who wants some of this cheddar?
We start calling Tut sweet cheddar with that cowboy hat on.
Hell yeah.
I prefer
and orange peel.
I prefer cheddar long britches.
Abound in this perfectly balanced creation from one of the hottest cigar makers on the
planet. Did you just say this cigar is going to have orange peel?
Yeah. I've gotten orange from cigars before.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure.
If you're looking for one of the most stunning smoking experiences to come out of Nicaragua or anywhere for that matter, make room in your humidor for Bella Artes. Butter, cream, sweet cheddar.
Sounds like a baked potato.
And it's AJ, a trusted name.
Here's where I got the idea to acquire these for this program. End of the year around IPCPR time, when everyone's releasing their stuff and all that.
Yeah.
I saw a post. Usually, our friend Skip Martin over at RomaCraft, 95% of the cigars he posts pictures of him smoking are RomaCraft cigars. Every once in a while, he'll throw a little shout-out to something else he's smoking that he's enjoying.
Yeah.
And he said it was one of the best cigars he had had in a long time.
Really?
So I made a little mental note because our palates tend to...
In the words of Doc Holliday, now I know I hate it.
You know, now I said that so he'll give it a chance. It's been gobbling up Skip's bag of dicks for years.
I can either confirm the confirmation or deny...
I can either deny or deny that. Anyway, but whenever another cigar manufacturer is vocal for someone else's, it always kind of I make a mental note of it. Like, oh shit, Steve Saka liked, I'll give that a chance. I remember him saying he liked that. Especially ones that we know our palates are
kind of aligned to.
Kind of aligned to. So, yeah. And I've liked a lot of AJ's stuff. So I really want to try this for a while. That's all I got.
Okay. That was a good breakdown.
You guys say something. What?
Awesome.
What's wrong? That was a good breakdown. I liked it. It was good, factual, knowledgeable. You read the Cliff Notes, great.
See each other in 2 weeks. It just gets weird. Oh, wait. Tuts missed two Tuesday nights this year. Ooh. Valentine's Day.
Like I'm going to not miss Valentine's Day.
Yeah, well, for some of us, we were good enough for one another.
Well,
that's why you're in the neem num seat, my friend. Oh, shit. Oh man, I need a lot of these tonight.
That's a good thing because we have a lot of them.
Speaking of a lot of these,
Cody, tell us about tonight's beer.
You're up, partner.
That was your.
It's delicious.
Dynamite drop in, Cody. Let's go on to the movie.
It's very interesting.
No. All right. Tonight's beer. From the ever-wonderful Adelbert's Brewery.
Adelbert.
That kind of looks like your brother with hair on the can.
No.
Cover up the hair at the top.
Well, kind of, maybe. Maybe, sort of.
It's got a big guy.
Yeah, I'm just going to have some beer cans made with a picture on.
Dude, that would be awesome.
It does kind of look like a guy.
I'm sorry.
If you get scraggly beard.
I didn't mean to interrupt you yet.
But Adelbert's Brewery is out of Austin, Texas. It was founded in 2011 by a gentleman by the name of Scott Hovey. It's named after his brother, George Adelbert Hovey. And most of the beers are named after his nickname, Dell. He was a big world traveler. And so most of the names of their beers come from his travels around. Tonight is the Naked Nun wit beer.
Let's pause right there, because if most of the beers are named for his travels, I'm curious as to how he got the name Naked Nun for this beer.
Well, in this instance, he was in Colombia. He was basically hiking, and he got robbed. They took everything. Clothes, money. He had nothing left.
Left him butt ass naked.
Left him butt ass naked. He basically hung out and waited until some people came by, and they just happened to be a group of nuns who were kind enough to give him a blanket and some money to get back to civilization.
Oh.
So
how's that for a story?
Yeah, so he couldn't say that the nuns were naked, so it just became the naked nun because he was naked and the nuns saved him.
I was kind of like joking that there would be a story on there, but to me that's totally cool that there's a story about that.
Yes.
We're pros. You knew a story. But,
like I said,
it's called the internet.
It is a wit beer. It's a Belgian style ale.
It's unfiltered, I see.
It comes as they are very much pale and cloudy in appearance due to being unfiltered.
Viscous.
High level of wheat, sometimes oatmeal or oats. And they tend to be spiced.
Yes.
Ending up with things like coriander and or orange peel. So we'll see how that pairs.
Which would be
kind of
weird to see about the orange in the cigar. And vits are kind of hit or miss with me. I either really like them or really hate them.
And I'm kind of the same way. Sometimes they can be, especially with the spice, some of them will go overboard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, once you know what coriander tastes like, you can pick it out in a beer really easily.
Yeah.
And if they put too much, all of a sudden it just
kills dominates everything.
Everything,
yeah.
So
we call them vit heads.
Vit heads.
When they
I'll tell you right
put
now.
Too much in there.
I tell you right now. I'm already liking it. I like the smell off of it. You do have a lot of citrus coming off the aroma. I like the viscosity of it. It's got a nice feel of it. That was a good $5 word you threw out there.
I've been doing this for 49 episodes. Pick up a thing or two.
So yeah, I mean, I like the citrusy. I like the spices. The uncloudiness gives it a little bit of a tangy texture as well. It's. So far, I'm kind of liking it for a vit beer.
So,
well, I am liking it as well, too. I will say, as a pairing beer, this is going to be interesting. By law, I have to tell you, gentlemen, a beer this much spice can either conflict.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
If it's not playing simpatico with the cigar, we could be running into some real...
Well, after the way
Comanche
you described
territory.
Cigars, I mean, I'm interested to know if the flavors in the cigar, will they pair with this, or will they, like you said, will it just be at odds?
Yeah. And noted, I already like the beer, so that's going to be kind of an interesting deal, too. Because I know we've run into situations where I've liked the cigar and haven't liked the beer.
Yeah. Last week.
Yeah, and it's always, definitely last week. And it's also, you know, kind of curious as to what flavor is dominating that you don't like about it. Now, fortunately, I was good with the Lajero of last week's cigar, so I knew that wasn't what it was.
You know what? I will say this, though. We were talking about last week's beer wasn't a real big Yak Boy liked the hibiscus ale from Twisted X. Very flowery beer.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was made with flowers. Tut and I weren't fans, but... That had such a strong, powerful note of that hibiscus.
Yeah.
This isn't that. This is a very flavorful, but I'm not like, oh, so much coriander.
Yeah.
So much cinnamon or so much citrus. No, it's a very well-balanced spicy beer.
And like the citrus is like, it's got like a hint of lemon, but it's not like lemony citrus. That's what I really like about it. It's got just enough of that tang to, here's your little citrus in it, so...
Yeah, and that's definitely the citrus I'm getting is lemon.
Yeah, I'm not getting orange.
I'm not getting orange. I'm getting a nice subtle lemon. Nothing.
Maybe that was subconscious from the yellow in the can, and we're like, it looks like a lemon.
You know, it's not.
That could be too.
And the great thing is, I mean, it's not. This is a 5.8% ABV, and the IBUs are incredibly low. It's like 10, 15%.
Yeah,
that's
Yeah.
Is this a year-round beer?
Yes, it is.
Okay. They do, you've had a couple of these on the tap.
Belgian style?
They do a lot of darker beers, correct?
They do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I mean, that's one of the things that their brewery does is that everything they is made to Belgian style.
Right.
So almost every beer they have follows a Belgian style of one way or another.
I do like the Belgian style.
So
Belgium's got some style when it comes to beer.
So
You know what else has some style? This fucking cigar. Oh, that's good. You guys are going to like it. Okay. Just lit up, and it
makes, your eyes lit up.
It makes a wonderful first impression.
Hmm. Smell coming off of it's nice. Hmm.
My son is... It's like the guy that jumps into the swimming pool. Hey, guys, it feels great. Come on in.
Well, you told me to smoke slow, and I can't do that, so I'm going to give you all a 15-minute head start.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, like Jose Blanco said, especially on a nuanced cigar, the slower you smoke, the more opportunity you have to really taste the flavors. You know, you burn through it. The faster you smoke it, the hotter it smokes, the more you lose all the care and work that the blender put into it.
No way, Jose.
I think there was a Jose or two in tonight's movie.
Okay, tell us about tonight's movie.
Do I have to?
You're the one who picked the damn thing.
Well, I was a big fan of the Duran Duran song that this was based on. But then after I watched the movie, I started adding things up. That was Wild Boys.
Yeah.
This film is Rowdy Girls. The Rowdy Girls. Not just any Rowdy Girls. The Rowdy Girls. 2000s. The Rowdy Girls. Just going to put that out one more time so you folks listening at home can settle in. Tonight's film is The Rowdy Girls. I'll put up a few pictures.
Or if you're overseas, it's called Danger Girl.
Is it?
Yes, it actually is. Because I was actually
they were dangerous.
I was actually looking for the song, the guy who comes in and song narrates it. I was looking for him on YouTube. And so I typed in, like, Rowdy Girls song, and I kept all these references of Danger Girl. And I was like, looked at Cody, and I was like, what the hell is Danger Girl? And it was, like, just some Spanish-Portuguese ripoff of the Rowdy Girls.
Well, like I said, folks, if you go to our website, I'll put some pictures up to show you, just give you a visual of what this movie, what got us interested, perhaps. When I put out the word, this is the movie we're doing. I believe Yak Boy was like, this is my kind of Western. Everybody's all excited. And then I was like, you watch over the next few days after they watch, it's going to be radio silence. No one's going to say shit to me until we all sit down here.
Oh, once the camera's off, I've got a lot of things to say to you.
Thought it was going to go in a different direction.
Real quick, boys. You know what? I'll wait till Tuttle lights out. He'll be caught up in 20 seconds. Right off the bat, there is a cedar, a really nice cedar note that hits with a cream. And you boys know me, when I get a cream note going, I'm happy. But that's cedar and cream initially, no spice, just a really nice combo. 1-2 immediate combo of cedar and cream for me. What about you, Yavoy?
I definitely say cedar is a very definite.
Try that little cream on the retro hill.
On the retro hill, all right. One second.
Tons of smoke production. This thing is burning straight across. Perfect burn line. Perfect draw. Cut it with the scissors. It tastes good. You like it?
I do.
My cap split.
Oh, you did get a little split on that hybrid wrapper. That's probably the Havana
1812.
The Havana 2012. It's been known to have a couple quirks to it.
I'm not picking up any cream on the retro hell, but apparently I'm not good at picking it up. Yeah. We'll see. Okay. I'm hoping I catch the butter. That would be cool.
Who was it, Cody, that had such a hard time getting the butter that one time?
I'm praying it happens again.
It was the Monte Cristo. Oh, he was so depressed.
You
Yeah, I'm thinking the butter will come in. It's right in the middle. Like popcorn, movie popcorn butter.
Why don't you just shred it up, put it on some lobster?
This is just... Are you guys getting notes of lobster dunked in warm, melted butter? Wait a minute. I'm getting Red Lobster biscuits.
By law, I have to tell you that no crustaceans were used in making this cigar.
AJ,
I'm getting never-ending pasta salad.
We're running low on lobsters, AJ. Just throw in some crab meat. They'll never know. I wonder if anybody's ever worked any food into a cigar.
I'm sure they have. I'm sure they have.
Well, I'm going to come back to this once you've got a little more time. The Rowdy Girls is a Western. You can't deny that. Shut up. You can't deny that.
I can neither deny nor deny.
Directed by Steven Nevius. Nevius. Well, this is his only directorial gig worth noting. He does have a very impressive resume as an editor. He edited A Few Good Men.
Oh, wow.
A bunch of episodes of Justified recently, which I know the Doctor's a big fan of.
Oh, I guess. All right.
And he was assistant editor on big films like Princess Bride, Bull Durham, When Harry Met Sally.
Okay.
So if nothing else, you think we could reasonably expect that the Rowdy Girls would at least be well edited.
Yes.
He did not edit this film.
Okay, yeah.
So
well, okay, so I was thinking, you know, because my first thought was like, all right, well, everybody's got to start somewhere. He started with Rowdy Girls. No, he didn't. If he was freaking editing Bull Durham, that was like a decade before this.
No, assistant editing.
If he was assistant editing Bull Durham, that was like a decade before this.
No, this was his passion project. He waited till the right time to make the Rowdy Girls.
He must have really liked the actress. And I can understand why.
There are quite a bit of females in this movie. I turned into Peter Brady here. Do you guys' pants feel a little... Do you guys' Wranglers get a little tighter watching this movie?
Let me just my crotch right in here.
Would it be okay if you say I wasn't wearing pants?
I'm pretty sure if we actually caught this on its original late-night cable run in 2000, you probably were not wearing pants.
I'm surprised. Well, I'm...
Did you watch this out on your back deck?
Yeah, I did. Totally did.
How'd that go for you?
Out there where the critters are just running wild.
Your cats?
I had to make sure that like none of the neighbors could see it.
I had to shield my cat's eyes from it. Again, folks, go to the website. I'll show you some pictures so you can get an idea what we're...
Charles Mortimer is so innocent.
...in store here. But you know what?
He shouldn't have to watch this filth.
I sent out the call. I put out the smoke signals for what movie we were doing. And like I always do... Once I'm knee-deep into the second viewing, breaking it down, I'm like, you know what? We chose to do this. I got us into this. We're going to make something out. We're gonna really look at the Rowdy Girls.
I'm really curious to see what we make out of this, because I have no clue.
Well, you know what? I'm going to get right to it real quick. I do want to say, any fears about the beer and cigar conflicting so far are not... They're not conflicting to me.
No, despite similar descriptions, they are not similar tastes. Each flavor is very distinguishable coming off cigar and beer.
Getting a little milk chocolate myself on the cigar.
Really? Because I'm getting a little cinnamon.
Yeah, boy?
I have to go with more. I think
more cinnamon. I'm still getting the cream and the cedar, but I start getting a little very faint milk chocolate. No cinnamon yet.
I haven't gotten any cream. I wonder if part of that cinnamon is more of the back taste of the cedar.
That could be. Could be. You enjoying it?
I am.
Yeah?
Okay.
And I'm done. No, I'm done. No, Señor Blanco, I'm not done.
Well, as our three main lovely ladies are introduced on screen, our rowdy girls, if you will.
Rowdy girls.
A man dressed in a cowboy hat appears rowdy out of the trees girls. With an acoustic guitar and sings us the Rowdy Girls theme song. We don't have the Doctor here, unfortunately.
There are three guys at a podcast table. They're doing a show called the Rowdy Girls.
And that's it. It's like a couple lines. It's very short and sweet.
If you've ever watched Cat Ballou, that's what this is. It's Cat Ballou. It was a... Not sure what year it came out, but Jane Fonda was in it.
Is this one of your stage shows where the cats act out like human parts?
No. It was like a famous movie. I mean, it was like a kind of like a spoof parody western. Jane Fonda played the lead. Who played the old guy? It was Lee Marvin who played Skip something.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you haven't seen it. I love Cat Ballou. But it was like they would do like a bit of the story, and then Nat King Cole and this some random white guy would come in, and they would like sing the next chapter, and then the deal over would come over.
Well, as you boys know, I'm not the biggest Western fan. I like talking about them with you guys more than actually watching them.
Yeah.
But he comes out and does a little cute little theme song. It's short and sweet, and before you know it, we cut to...
I'm sorry, I just got a picture... I'm sorry for interrupting. I just got a picture of, like, Chris Isaac and that dude from Something About Mary, when they
I'm sorry, the guy... Jonathan Richman is the guy from Something About Mary's name.
Yeah.
Much like they are the Greek chorus of Something About Mary, and they just kind of appear within scenes.
Greek chorus is that is this
cowboy. Yeah. He is the Greek chorus. Only they, in the other movies, and like Something About Mary, Jonathan Richman, who that was brilliant what he did, where they would accompany and kind of, this guy actually fills in gaps like where they didn't have to film shit, or they forgot to film shit. But I'll get more, I'll talk
just
more about
in
that.
Just
later.
Send in the guitar player.
I'll talk more about that later. Well, we cut to a New Orleans cat house in 1886, where we meet a tired woman tired of turning tricks. All right, that was the Cowboys line. I didn't actually come up with that. Turns out, she's going to do whatever it takes. She's just sitting at her mirror in her room at the whorehouse, kind of self-reflecting. She's going to do whatever it takes to break free of this bordello. She's going to head out west to find a decent fellow. I copied him again.
Say words.
Sorry. I did it again. Well, who is this woman we see as she slowly shakes out of her nun outfit? Naked nun beer. Good pairing, Tut. Tut is responsible for having the wherewithal. Hey, wait, we're talking about a naked nun tonight.
Well, you don't know.
Naked nun beer.
You don't know if she's a nun yet.
Well, she definitely wears a nun costume.
Well, she's definitely naked.
Well, it's our heroine, Velvet.
Velvet.
Played by the one and only Shannon Tweed.
Shannon Tweed.
Playboy Playmate of the Year 1982. Star of such immortal classics as our favorite, Hot Dog the Movie.
Yes. Hot Dog the Movie.
Episode something or other. You can look that up. It's one of my favorites of
Top
ours.
Of the Hill. Sylvia
Top of the Hill.
Top of the Hill.
That's right, Sylvia. That's right. What else has she been in? Night Visitor. Cannibal Women of the Avocado Jungle of Death.
Meatballs 3.
Meatballs 3. Night Eyes 2. Last Call. Sexual Response. Indecent Behavior. Night Chemistry 4. Full Exposure.
Indecent Night Action.
No, you're thinking of Indecent Behavior 3. Human Desires. Naked Lies. Forbidden Sins. Forbidden Sins 3. The Boner Ultimatum.
Oh.
And she also guest starred as Priscilla Lake in a classic episode of Murder, She Wrote in 1985.
Wow,
what a career.
Tweed is
and of course, her claim to fame.
Treasure.
Her claim to fame to the millennials out there who don't know any of these late night flicks I mentioned. She's Gene Simmons' wife. She has a reality show with
Are they
with
actually married? Or
I think they finally did get married.
Did they finally get married?
I believe he finally married.
So now we have to watch what we say tonight, otherwise he's going to sue us.
Yeah, really could be careful there. And I should mention I made up Forbidden Sins 3, The Boner Ultimatum.
No.
You guys didn't even notice, though. How are we supposed to? That should be a movie, though. Copyright 2017 Tuesday Night Cigar Club.
The Rebirth of Shannon Tweed.
That should be a movie, damn it. Well, Miss Tweed's not on screen for 30 seconds before we see her boobs shaken out of her nun costume. But she yells through the brothel door that she's done turning tricks. She's not taking any more Johns on this evening.
Yes. Well, which is really funny because I don't know if the woman that's here spying through the door, you know.
A African-American prostitute, or madam, I guess.
Yeah,
is actually spying on her as she undresses. We're seeing through her eyes. Thank you for spying on Shannon Tweed. Yax, did I use that term correctly? Johns?
That's the current term, yes.
She's not seeing any more Johns tonight.
No, that's right.
Where's that come from? What's the...
I have no idea. Why are you asking me this?
What do you know? Shut up. Next scene. Dynamo from Running Man. Cut to commercial! Enough! No, I just... why do they call them Johns? I guess because they're John Does.
Correct.
They have no names. They come in, they do their business, they leave. They're John. They're all named John.
John Smith.
John Mincy. That's the doctor's real name.
Now he's got to flee the country now that you spoiled it.
Well, meanwhile, down in Mexico, there's some other action taking place. You see, when Billy Polk ran this outlaw gang, they were all doomed to hang. But Mick was meaner still, and she always shoots to kill. That was the cowboy singing again. I tried to say it without rhyming too much.
And you can't.
They can't. I stole that one too. Well, we meet Vicious Mick. It's a boy's name, but it's not a boy who we see on screen. As she bullwhips poor Billy Polk in the bedroom.
And I actually got a bit of orange.
Got some orange.
Orange on the retro hill, yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. Can't believe I actually knocked that out.
It is a very smooth retro hail. You should love this. Like, there's some cigars I see over there.
To me, I actually think it's a little bit stronger on the retro hail for me.
Really?
It's got a little bit of a burn to it. But if I slow it and I try not to force it out, then that's where I'm getting a lot of the flavor coming through it.
Now I'm getting a little bit of cashew.
Okay.
Some type of... It might take me a few minutes to pinpoint exactly what nut. I'm getting notes of a bag full of dicks.
All right, so we were talking about Billy Polk.
His girlfriend, Mick, is whipping him with a bullwhip in a fun way. She is played by B-movie legend and 1993's Penthouse Pet of the Year, Julie Strain.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. You find her a little mannish?
A little bit.
Yeah, Julie Strain's...
Kind of China-ish?
Julie Strain's a weird one. Well, she is 6'1". She was in, if anything, more of these kind of movies than...
Rawr.
She actually did more mainstream stuff than Shannon Tweed.
Really?
She was like in Above the... Or Out for Justice with Seagal. She popped up like in some kind of mainstream action flicks, smaller roles. She was the dominatrix in Naked Gun 33 and a Third.
Oh, okay, my goodness.
So she actually kind of, because she's just so imposing, but for research purposes, if you guys, I don't know if you guys, there's some pretty...
What's research?
Well, now that they can sell my web browser history, I got to be careful. It's for the podcast, I swear. I never really was that familiar. I know Julie Strain, I've seen some of her stuff, but... Here's you two, especially having cable TV in the 90s, probably know Julie from her previous films, Carnal Crimes.
Nope.
Erotic Dreams.
Nope.
Ambitious Desires.
Nope.
Mm. Oh, you know what? Kill the Music. I should have done this on Shannon Tweed. I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. We'll be inserting some Adrian Barbeau music.
Oh, God.
Stevie Wayne would run it through. You may know her from such classic films as Carnal Crimes.
No. No.
Erotic Dreams.
Nope.
No.
Ambitious Desires.
Nope.
Nope.
Night Rhythms.
Nope.
Sunset Heat.
No.
No. No.
Witchcraft for the Virgin Heart.
No.
Bikini Squad. Witchcraft for the Virgin Heart. Rings a bell in Tuttle's subconscious. Dark Secrets.
Nope.
Virtual Desires.
Nope.
Did I mention Bikini Squad?
Yes.
I've seen that one. Heavenly Hooters.
Nope.
Lethal Seduction.
Nope.
Bikini Hotel.
Nope.
Masseuse 3.
Nope.
The Escort 3.
Nope.
Lingerie Kickboxer.
Nope.
The Bear Wench Project.
Actually, I want to see that one now.
I was about to say, are you sure that was a cable show?
Planet of the Erotic Apes.
I'm sorry, but the Bear Wench Project. That is
she
a
actually
name.
She actually did four of those.
I'm pretty sure that's a porn.
No, it's a spoof, like making fun of it, but it's got just a bunch of naked chicks. And I think Ron Jeremy's in one of them.
Are you sure that's not porn?
No. You can,
anytime you describe a movie as naked chicks and Ron Jeremy, that's porn.
I remember seeing the Bear Wench at Blockbuster Video,
like
for rent. So it's
in the adult section.
The Blockbuster.
And the oh yeah they don't yeah.
again, these ladies have over 100 acting credits on IMDb apiece. So no matter how ridiculous these movies they're in, these ladies have worked. I mean, I respect the hell out of that. I mean, that's quite a resume. And I should mention, I did not make up Heavenly Hooters. That actually was I didn't make. If you think we're not doing an episode, I should have called it quits at this point and texted you guys back. Change. We're doing Heavenly Hooters. I'm going to make a note actually to see if we can get our hands on that. Oh, hey now. Well, just as quickly as Shannon Tweed took it off, Julie's Mick tears off her clothes and proceeds to pour an entire bottle of whiskey all over her giant Heavenly Hooters and ass and everywhere else.
I was about to say, it was very reminiscent of
The Night We Met.
Dust Till... You promised
my never,
my love.
You promised never to say that.
My apologies.
From Dust Till Dawn.
It was kind of like Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek.
But she very seductively poured it down her leg into George Clooney's mouth.
Salma Hayek.
She's just pouring it all over her tits, all over her ass. It's you know, if that's what you're into.
Well, hey, if you're going to be taking a different take on a scene, you got to bring something new to it.
Well, she tells Billy, why don't you come over here and taste what a real woman tastes like? Whiskey.
That's about to
tastes
say.
Like whiskey, look?
Well, needless to say, he's excited, really excited. He's doing, like, somersaults and barking like a dog. And he pounces on her. They proceed to screw every which way you can possibly screw someone. At breakneck speed.
Oh, it looks more like they're fighting each other.
Yeah, it looks like a very vicious fight. I mean, she's just riding him, and he's riding her, and then he'll flip her around. But it's real fast and aggressive, but very, I mean, not aggressive like in a bad, like, 50 Shades of Grey way. None of that. It's just really fast, like jackrabbits.
In cinematic doing it, I really say that I thought this scene was crap.
Well, a little history lesson, Tut. I know you went to Stephen F. Austin, so I'll fill you in on some American history. You'll back me up on this. In the old days, they had to screw fast like that because the lifespan was so much shorter. You know, you drink a parasite in your creek water, you're dead. You never know when your tongue's going. So you got to screw as fast as you possibly can because you never know if it's going to be your last time. Am I right?
Yes. Yes, you are.
That's social studies 101. We learned that in eighth grade.
I just hated it because the
it
way...
It might actually be one of the crazier sex scenes we've ever had on the show.
The whole Billy Pope barking and raring, I was just like, oh, come on, dude.
It was funny. It was like in Porky's when the...
It was supposed to be funny, but to me it wasn't.
It was like in Porky's when the principal's like got the leather ball and gag on. It's supposed to be funny.
It was supposed to be, but it wasn't.
Well... They're doing it as they're screwing. There's like a Ennio Morricone inspired like spaghetti western score.
No, I did like that.
It's got like a twangy guitar and like the Indians like huh, huh, like the Native American. It's crazy, Lee. It's very offensive, and I thought it was pretty funny.
No, it wasn't offensive. It was like you said. It was Macaroni.
More Ennio Macaroni, as you called him. On our last Western.
I was about to say, the music in this show is probably the best thing about this show, except for Shannon Tweed and the other Terry.
The music is sped up to match their thrusting hips. It's just a crazy... I really do think it's one of the weirdest sex scenes we've featured in 49 episodes. That's saying, we've seen a lot of weird stuff. Afterwards, they're laying there, and Billy lights up a stogie post-coitus, and Mick, being the 6'1",
Alpha male.
She is. She reaches over and takes the stogie from him and puffs on it like a boss.
Like a boss.
She's one tough broad, fellas.
It was actually pretty cool. This. I liked it. I'm not that big a fan of Mick, but.
Well, this isn't the film that gets you to like her. She's kind of a.
Dick?
She's a Mick. A massive dick. Kind of like that massive bag of dicks I ate back in 1986. Then we're introduced to our third leading lady, our last rowdy girl, if you will. Sarah was arranged to wed a Texas Callahan, but her heart was crying out for the San Francisco Bay. So she begged her beau Rory to take her there by hand, and she left a tear-stained note for her dear old dad. I also stole that from The Singing Cowboy. And the fact that we're only 5 minutes in this movie and he's quit rhyming? Like, he's not even trying with his lyrics anymore.
But he's propelling the story forward.
That's not a good sign. Anywho, Sarah's running away from an arranged marriage. She's being led to marry this guy set up by her dad. She is played by Deanna Brooks, Playboy's Playmate of the Month for May 1998.
And I'm about to start barking like Mr. Billy Polk.
It's a good year, 1998. A lot of good things happening around.
I don't remember 1998 at all.
Oof. The next 2 years I did not remember, but I've got fond memories of 98. This was actually her feature film debut, believe it or not. She's so good. Although she'd go on to appear in many after this Playboy home video releases, used to find those under Matt Cade's mattress throughout the
when the tape stops rolling, I would like to go peruse
that cabinet over there. I tell you not to look in there. I'll give you the key.
All right.
Such titles you may be familiar with: Playboy: Playmate Pajama Party.
Nope.
See that one?
Okay.
Playboy: Playmate Erotic Adventures.
Nope.
Playmate. Mm. Colon Club Lingerie?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Playboy: Hot Lips and Hot Legs?
Mm-hmm. No.
And countless others. I'm going to stop. There's literally just too many to count. You get the idea. Well, her horny boyfriend is being wishy-washy. He says, you know, I'll go to San Francisco and I'll send for you later. To which she wants to get there now. So she knees him right in the balls and heads out all by herself.
First of all, despite the fact that she's a needy gold digger, she's a beautiful needy gold digger.
Man, I didn't see it. I didn't think she was that good looking.
Really? Yeah. Wow, I did.
Yak boy, what'd you think?
Oh, she was attractive.
And if you're like a 20-something in the 1800s in a little one-horse town, you ain't pulling that every day.
First of all, no women look like this in the 1800s.
Nope.
No. No, I'm pretty sure no women look like this in the first half of the 1900s.
Withered, wrinkled crones. But I'm only 23 years old.
If we went back in time, we'd be like, hey, partner, I want to hook you up with my sister. Oh, God. There's your grandma. Where's your sister? That's her. She's 19 years old.
No, that's wrong. I've seen photos from like the 1920s. There's some pretty girls in there.
This is 1886, buddy. This is a whole different scene. A whole different scene.
By law, I gotta tell you.
Her crotch is as dusty as the wide open plains.
I've seen Little House on the Prairie.
Good night, John Boy. Good night, John Boy. Good night, John Boy. Can't a guy masturbate in this house?
I think that was Walden's Pawn.
That was the Waltons.
The Waltons. Simple mistake. Simple mistake. How are you guys jeans treating you? Yeah, I think I've put too much starch in mine.
Well, I haven't worn the shirt since the Travis Tritt days, and it's a little bit
As I was reading off all those
tighter than
as I was reading off all those Julie Strain titles, I start getting a little uncomfortable. Here. Real quick, now that we've introduced our three rowdy girls, that's kind of important to get a visual on who's our key players are here tonight, because there's really not much to this movie after that. Cigar, guys? Beer? You need a beer.
Yes, please.
Ah, man, I can taste the jalapa coming through here.
No, you're a fan of the jalapa.
Yeah?
Your favorite territory.
Actually, Esteli is my favorite territory. Jalapa is the second favorite territory.
Okay.
So you got a little bit of the sweetness on it. Yeah, I'm still picking up a little bit of hint of that citrus kind of taste to it on the retrohale. It's not necessarily cinnamon, but it's got that just kind of that. I don't even know how to describe it.
Nutmeg.
No, that's way too strong. Strong of a flavor. But yeah, I am getting a little bit of citrus still on that retrohale. It might be coming in through the cedar, like I said, back door in the cedar. Okay.
Yeah, hey, I agree with Ted. It's a citrus.
Yeah.
I can't say that it's any one thing in particular, but just that hint. I'm still getting... I'd probably say that I'm getting more cedar.
Yeah.
I'm not really getting any cinnamon.
For me, the cedar and the cream is still the key. That little faint toying with milk chocolate I had, it kind of came and went pretty fast. I'm down there. I'm getting a little... I think what I'm sensing is a kind of a floral component might be...
I can see that.
It might be what you guys are getting, the cinnamon, the herbal thing, and it might also be a factor
of the beer.
But it's a very smooth cigar.
Yeah, it is. It's weird that I haven't gotten the cream that you guys are doing, but I just find it weird that I seem to have like a cream void in my palate.
I can't imagine living with that. If I couldn't sense cream, I'd kill myself. Well, I'd be sad. I'd be sad.
I'd be so sad. You know, maybe you can't get any butter or anything like that.
Beer. I'm still loving this beer.
It's tasty.
It is really good. Especially for a vit beer, which, like I said, I'm kind of hit or miss. The floral components of the vit are nice. The spice components they're present, but they're not dominant. It's not just a, you know, slappy in the face type of spice presence. So I kind of like it. It's got a little bit of thickness to it that I like. At least I didn't say girth. I mean, it's got some thickness.
You know,
and I
knew when I started tonight's episode talking about gobbling down that bag of dicks, I was going to be opening some doors that maybe, perhaps, should remain closed. I wouldn't say it has some girth, but I would say it's got. This is going to sound horrible now. I'm getting a little bit of
egg.
Egg? No.
Oh,
okay. A little bit of a salty kind of, like a... that's why I was...
Come on.
Well... No, like a caramel, like a salty caramel taste.
I'm sure you are.
You know what? Next time I eat a bag of dicks, you can forget me telling you guys. You guys can go eat a bag of dicks. And come tell me about it and see if I judge you. I won't.
There is a little bit of a caramel hint to it on the backside.
Yeah, you know, like when you have a caramel.
It's almost like an aftertaste of the retro ale.
Dove Chocolates makes a sea salt and caramel milk chocolate.
I can see that.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah. Not a salty jizz.
But I'm not really tasting it on the inhale or the retro hell of the cigar. It's more like on
the body.
Yeah, or just like now, just kind of like letting it alone. Let the palate, let the flavor sit on your palate before doing anything.
Right in the back of your throat.
Yeah.
What?
It is funny that the flavors, I'm not going to say that they're competing flavors, but they're not complementary flavors. They're standalone flavors. It's really kind of weird where the cigar identifies itself and the beer totally identifies itself. There is a hint of play off of both of the cigar and the beer with the coriander and a little bit of the citrus. I will say that. But for the most part, I can tell exactly where the flavors are coming from.
Construction is top notch. I've gotten I know you had the little wrapper issue, but that shouldn't be affecting your smoking experience.
No. It's got a little flare on the cap, line. And that's it.
I've had to relight once just because I was talking too damn much. About dicks.
Burn line was fine. The ash is fine. I like the smoke coming off of it.
Yeah.
It's not like a smoke bomb. It's not like the Nika Rustico
where
you need to get a fire extinguisher and just kind of blow the smoke out of here. But it had some body to it.
It is nice. This is our first cigar in a little while to not have that spice on ignition. Usually that's just the kind of the ebb and flow of the cigar world. You tend to get in these spheres where spice is the thing, and everything greets you with a big blast of pepper or whatnot in the beginning. This has been spice free. It's been kind of nice. A nice little change of pace.
It is a nice change of pace. I like the spices. I like the spice on the ignition, but I haven't missed it on this cigar.
I'd love to have this with a cup of coffee.
Oh, hell yeah.
With cream. Half and half.
No.
Or whole.
I take my coffee like Velvet's mom.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, we'll get to that. Well, briefly, and it's never really explained. But yeah, I'm digging this.
I think you're right. Coffee on this stick would be
Yeah.
Lights
out.
Put
some booze in your coffee?
You don't need to do that.
Just saying.
8 o'clock in the morning, throw some booze in that coffee, Cade style.
It's good. It's working for me. Beer and cigar. It's nice. All right, you witbits, or vitwits. Is that what you call somebody that likes this beer? A vitwit?
Nitwit.
A nitvit.
Nitvit.
So basically, all I've done over the last half hour is introduce you to these three girls.
Yeah. Well, that's about the
length
of this whole movie.
Talk a little bit about what goes on with these three girls, shall we? Back at the cat house, Velvet helps her klutzy boy toy slash doofus, Cole, is the man's name, climb in the whorehouse window, where he excitedly tells her he just robbed the local bank safe after hours, just like she asked him to. And after she ties him up to the bed, you know, his arms and legs, he thinks he's getting laid for pulling off this.
She's quite the seductress.
She is.
Come on, this
is Velvet. This is Shannon Tweed, just for our listeners to remind you. She packs up all the cash into her bag.
I'm just saying, I'd let her.
Shoots his ass.
Well, he does break free.
Well,
he breaks free and tries to.
Well, he gets sassy.
Yeah.
And he's got a knife and he's going to stab her.
Yeah, well, she shoots
him. And she's got a gun.
She shoots him in the wing and then punches him in the nose and knocks him out.
A Derringer, which is like the most inaccurate gun ever.
Well, it was
16
from
feet away.
It was from me to him.
That is true. That is true.
Oh, God. Tut's going to get into gun stuff again this episode. I would have shot him right in the
heart. I'm just saying, if Cole was carrying a gun.
Well, he thought he was going to
get... He just robbed a bank, for Christ's
sake. He thought he was going to get laid, and he got killed.
I'm just going to say in the beginning, I'm just going to say now that there's not really a whole lot of, like, eagle-eyed gunslingers in this movie. They're,
No.
And she didn't kill Cole.
Because he'll probably get the medical attention in this dirt shit town that he'll need to take care of that bullet wound.
That bullet was covered in shit, and it's now a septic wound. He's dead.
He's got 3 days tops. The most painful 3 days one man can imagine. Now, you might remember the actor playing Cole from such late-night erotic...
No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say, my God, man.
No, I'm not going to go
Does
there.
Does your research know no bounds?
No. But just to backtrack for a second, as she was getting her things together, she stops to open a little locket, and there's an old worn photograph of an older black woman in it. And a title card pops up that says, "Yes, Velvet's mother was a black woman." And then it's gone, and that's that. Okie dokie. I'm assuming they wouldn't point out if that's going to be a major plot, a plot point later on.
You'd be wrong.
Okie dokie. Next, we find ourselves in Sweetwater, Texas. Where's Sweetwater, boys?
In Texas.
Is that a real town?
Yes, it is.
Where is it? Nobody knows.
Well, I've never been there myself.
I have been in there, and I just cannot remember the damn thing. I think it is like central Texas.
Like under our feet? We're in central Texas.
Don't you know it's like right... town right over from here. Where
no,
have you been?
It's like southeast central Texas.
You hear the heart of Texas, it's the left ventricle of Texas. It's clogged.
Where is it, Cody? I see you looking it up.
Come on, man.
I'm curious.
It is just west of Abilene.
Okay, so it's more West Texas.
Well, you know what? And I will say this, later on in this movie, they do mention that they were just...
They
robbed
Billy
the...
Billy Pope was in Abilene. Yeah.
Right, so...
Okay.
So at least they were geographically correct.
All right.
This is...
By law, we have to set geographical, realistic boundaries in our storytelling.
I don't believe that for a minute.
Well, we joined two lawmen, Sam and Joe Pepper, brothers.
Good old Joe Pepper. Sam Pepper.
Sam takes his job seriously while Joe is constantly putting down his shields, his deputy shield, and pulling down his pants.
I was about to say, him
with other men
to satisfy the married ladies in town. Now, Sweetwater is a friendly...
Now, Joe, at this time, should have been... You know this is fiction because he should have been shot.
Well, Sweetwater is a friendly and fairly quiet old town, though some of the husbands around here wish Joe Pepper... would tame down and put his penis away. Wait.
No, you were accurate.
Well, that was a cowboy song again. I stole his lyrics. I added penis in there, though. They wish Joe Pepper would tame that wild penis of his down.
Well, I mean, really? So what are they really saying to him? Could you please stop putting your penis in my wife?
Exactly.
Joe, we've had some complaints at the Rotary Club this evening, and you have banged all of their wives.
Pastor Parson has called this town meeting
this
at the church.
This is the third time this week that you have slipped and fallen over, and your penis popped out of your pants and went into my wife. I'm getting a little tired of it.
You need to learn how to not be so clumsy.
It's times like these, scenes like these, characters like these in films where you start to look back at your life. You're like, I could have gone a whole totally different path. I could have been the Joe Pepper of Huntsville, Texas. Thank God that didn't happen. I met a sweet little thing, and she made me an honest woman.
I met a sweet little thing, and...
Would you guys be opposed to calling me Matt Pepper from now on?
I would totally be opposed to calling you Matt Pepper.
You're not going to do it?
No. Not going to do it.
Like, if we're up at the pub, and like, hey, who's that guy over there? You wouldn't be like, it's Matt Pepper.
Oh, yeah, if it's someone I didn't know, I would totally do this.
No, it sounds awfully like Barry Pepper, and...
He's that guy in Battlefield Earth.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Who's, wait, Barry Pepper?
He's an actor.
Battlefield Earth. Which one was he?
The main guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not John Travolta.
I won't, like, cast him into that movie and, like, see, like, he was also the sniper in Saving Private Ryan. He had a good role in that.
I liked him.
Yes.
Yeah. I like him. I liked him a lot in Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
I never saw that movie.
I don't remember him being in...
Shannon Tweed and Julie Strain, by the way, I forgot to mention, co-starred in Saving Ryan's Privates.
Well, I believe that.
Saving Private Ryan?
I have seen that. Which, by the way, it's in the cabin if you want to borrow that later. Remember Matt Damon from Saving Private Ryan?
Yes.
This stars Matt Giant Bag of Dicks. He's foreign.
I thought it was going to be Matt Heyman.
Are you telling me if you guys were 7 or 8 years old and really craving sweets, you wouldn't have totally destroyed that bag of dicks in the freezer?
Oh, I totally would have.
Okay.
I would have shoved all those dicks in my mouth.
As I was telling you guys, I was reflecting, like, was there any hesitation, like, I'm eating dicks? Was there any thought in my mind, like, dude, what's your aunt doing with a bag full of dicks?
I'm not sure at 8 years old that I would have been like, oh, a bag full of dicks.
I thought it was odd. Because it was like the ball, it was like a shaft and balls, and they're about yay big, and I mean, I couldn't get enough of them. I couldn't stop. But that was, I had a sweet tooth.
So I realized this joke is going to go on for another 3 hours.
Me and my bag of dicks.
And I'm gonna forget my disdain of it, and then I'll totally join in.
Which is funny, because that's what my wife referred to my groomsmen as.
Oh.
What are you and the bag of dicks got going on tonight? Where are those bag of dicks taking you for your bachelor party?
Cody, weren't you in Matt's wedding?
I was.
Seems like an eternity ago. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. It's
okay. Well, here we go. 20 minutes into this thing, and I think you see where it's going. Literally nowhere. Joe Pepper's, we find him in the jail. He's a deputy. He's in the jail cell banging one of the local housewives, Miss Wheeler. Renee something or other. She's something. In one of the jail cells, Mick and Billy Polk are out on the outskirts of town scouting the perfect place for a stagecoach robbery. Man, Julie Strain, 6'1", dwarfs all the other bad guys in the crew.
Well, now, you know, and this is where, now all of a sudden, the Billy Polk is standing over things, and now he's Mr. Evil Eye. I got grit.
Oh, yeah, no, he's playing the kid now. Before we start barking like a dog in his little red overalls.
He can't control himself, you know, he's just rolling around, and now obviously he's all, I got to get this thing done, I got to rob that stagecoach.
That's what all good men of organized crime, they put on a game face for their crew, but behind closed doors, they do some kinky stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I'm told. And also, in this scene, and from now on, Mick doesn't wear a bra, which is kind of cool. She kind of wears that puffy shirt from Seinfeld with no bra.
Yeah, but she's kind of doctored, so...
You do not like Julie Strain.
I don't like the doctored...
She does not have the traditional Shannon Tweed blonde bombshell face, much more so with the other, Sarah...
Yes.
The younger playmate. She has a very all-American...
I'm thinking it's more of her bolted-on boobs that are kind of throwing me off.
She does have some giant bolted-on boobs. But those were very popular back in 1886.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Well, the snake oil salesman would drive up. Hey, I got the elixir and the boobs for you.
Does it look like we have money? Well, how much?
Well, then Velvet shows up somewhere by boat in her nun costume and immediately climbs in a stagecoach.
Wait, did you say she was dressed as a nun?
I did.
And she gets naked a lot?
Yeah.
And that's where the beer comes in.
I will say, this pairing works on all levels. And the cigar, fine art. Much like the film we're watching tonight?
No, it's nothing. It's nothing like this film.
Well, she gets out of this boat and immediately climbs into a stagecoach headed to Sweetwater. And guess who's in the stagecoach? Sarah. So two of our rowdy girls now.
Sarah and like a chaperone?
She does have a, like an old marm assistant with her. I didn't really pay attention to her. She didn't have any big boobs. Remember how we praised last episode's film, The Devil's Candy, for its very economical screenplay? It just showed you what you needed to see, kept moving.
Right.
Moved swiftly, left out any kind of questionable or unnecessary moments in an effort to speed things along.
These people were just happy to get every amount of film.
Apparently there's a flip side to that coin, boys. It's called Rowdy Girls. Why couldn't we just cut to her in the stagecoach? And why do we have to see that little boat? And it's like it's not even a rowboat. It's like a dinghy.
And it doesn't really look like it. It looks like it was a stagnant pool of water.
Yeah, she was looking at. Yeah.
I was like, what did you cross? I mean, are you saying that this was like the mighty Mississippi or something?
It showed that from just the corner of the screen, you saw a tiny little bit of water. That's where Tut was fishing over the last couple of years.
I was like, what side of the Mississippi were you on?
No, it was the Comal on a lack of wind day.
I guess so. I was just.
Well, the stagecoach they're riding in, it also has a handsome fella that Sarah begins flirting with named the dashing Henry Boudin. I believe Tom spent some time with him back in Baton Rouge. Well, now...
Well, it was 1886. I had a job just outside of Baton Rouge. Do you mean 1986? No, it was 1886.
No, it was 1886.
It's immortal.
Well, now, Henry Boudin seems to be a decent enough feller. Just trying to make a break. But there's something hidden beneath those pinstripes. That's a greedy old trouser snake.
Oh, so we get like our fifth viewing of the guitar singing cowboy.
Oh, you knew that wasn't me that came up with those lines?
No, it was just me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was our little guy with the guitar came out. And he actually didn't refer to the trouser snake. I threw that in there.
I was about to say, I thought I missed that.
It was very eloquent.
Yeah. That tell you guys about the time I ate a bag of trouser snakes?
Oh, God. Move on already.
I really wish the doctor was here to help us with this one, with this singing cowboy. So Henry instructs Sarah that night to steal Velvet's bag of cash. He knows it's full of cash. We don't know how he knows that. And why she goes as and does it, we don't know either. Shit, we didn't see any of it take place because the stupid singing cowboy just told us about it. Henry told her to steal the... Like, they're not even filming scenes at this point. They're just having the cowboy tell us what's happening.
I think they pretty much took all the raw footage they had and, like, we have nothing.
No, that's
into the singing cowboy.
Dude, I really think that they're like, all right, we have a gap here. We forgot to film like this. All right, cowboy, do I got 10 minutes to write some lyrics? You got 5. Here we go. And a 1, and we don't have time for that either. You get a 2 count.
You don't even count a full 4.
I really do think he's just he was brought in at the end to fill in some gaps. And I'll tell you why too, because later when they're in the tavern, the bad guys get a guy to play guitar. There's a white guy sitting over there with a guitar, and they're like, "Why don't you play for us, minstrel?"
Yeah.
And it's not the singing cowboy.
It's not the singing cowboy, and it should have been the singing
dude.
Cowboy.
If he was on set, like it would have been him.
See, that's one of the things to go back with Cat Ballou. The two guys that come in and do the narration, then pass it off from scene to scene.
Yeah,
there are scenes in there to where like they go to a saloon and they're part of the scene.
That would have been nice. That would have made this a really good movie.
Oh, that's what it was missing.
That is exactly what it was missing.
Wow. Little things.
It is the little things. Plot,
Talent.
Substance.
Substance.
Coherent editing.
Well, once Sarah has the money bag from Velvet, old Henry just snatches it away from her, but before he can hightail it out of there, Velvet puts her little derringer to his temple, and after a brief tussle with both girls, Sarah ends up grabbing a rock and clubbing him over the head and killing him. It's our second movie in a row where somebody's killing people with rocks over the head. Sarah and Velvet bury his body, and then they cut one of the horses loose to make it look like he stole the horse in the middle of the night and ran off somewhere. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Give me a stagecoach ride.
But then when
we part for the night, I'm going to steal a horse. In the middle of nowhere.
All right.
Hey, it's Henry Boudin. He's cut from a different cloth.
Pinstripe cloth.
I've never been much of a man for word, partners. But I believe he's what we call a waterhead.
A what?
In medical terms.
I would agree with you.
That's all I need to hear. Back in the sleepy hamlet of Sweetwater, Deputy Joe Pepper is playing grab ass with Miss Wheeler again in the woods.
Miss Wheeler is...
She runs around with her pendulous breasts swinging all over the place. Yaks, pendulous?
Yeah, they were pendulous.
They were pendulous. Oh, they were pendulous lovers.
I was about to say, I'm about to revert to 14-year-old, because...
They were totally pendulous.
Oh, my goodness.
They were... you remember Pamela Voorhees in Friday 13th, Part 5? That in the woods, that scene?
Oh, yeah.
Those were, like, as a young kid, those were my... When I think pendulous, that's her. Miss Wheeler.
I don't know her name.
And I believe they're the first natural pair of breastises we've seen in the film so far.
Wait, hang on. Shannon's aren't natural?
No.
But they look good.
Oh, they look much more natural than Julie's.
Yeah, they got a lot of movement to them. Well, Sarah's aren't natural?
Well, not all these ladies have Gene Simmons type of money to buy the finest.
Yeah.
No, but no, that's what I'm saying, is that Sarah's were like gelatinous.
Gelatinous.
Gelatinous?
Gelatinous.
Gelatinous.
What'd he say? Gelatinous.
Gelatinous.
They didn't pass the gelatinous test.
But they had a lot of wiggle to them.
Sarah. Well.
Yeah, they did. They
not
totally
like Miss Wheeler.
No, not like Miss Wheeler. They weren't Miss Wheeler pendulous, but...
Let me ask you this.
They had jiggle and...
Would you think differently if I told you when I was a kid and I went into that freezer, if there was a bag of chocolate titties and a bag of dicks and I went for, I passed on the tits and I went for the dicks?
Would I think less of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There wasn't. I'm just asking. Those files are sealed.
I could have eaten the giant chocolate boobies, but instead I took a bag of tiny icing dicks.
Things are coming back to me. It may have...
What kind of bakery was your...
Exactly.
I knew my New Year's resolution for 2017 to quit going to my therapist would come back and bite me in the ass like a Texas rattlesnake. Here we are. Interesting. Where were we? Natural pendulous breasts.
Miss Wheeler.
Right as she mounts him and reaches down and inserts his little pepper into her stuff. She's about to ride him silly when he hears the town bell ringing from a couple miles away, and he pushes her aside and scurries off to help his brother Sam to meet the stagecoach, or else Big Bro's gonna be really pissed. He told him, "Don't you miss this. I need your help escorting this."
I was going to say, Big Bro was like, "You know what? You're a slacker. You're a slack off.
You're a horn dog.
Tired of carrying your weight, and I'm not going to cover for you anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to do this stagecoach job. You need to be here." And he didn't, because he was out there with Miss Wheeler. Man, that's tough, though.
Yeah, Miss Wheeler.
Because I would be like, "Look, bro, it was Miss Wheeler." Oh, yeah.
Hashtag pendulous.
No.
They didn't have hashtags back then, did they?
Tut does not endorse adultery on any level.
Well, Pepper, Deputy Pepper wasn't married. You don't know, Mr. Wheeler. There was a lot of dickheads in the Old West. Mr. Wheeler could have been abusive.
Oh, so now Mr. Wheeler's like this abusive asshole?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to think. There's a lot of bad dudes back then.
Hashtag rationalism. rationalization.
You didn't know how long you had on this earth, so you might as well just be a dick. Because what the hell? Right? There was more assholes per capita in the 1800s than any other point in time.
You don't know that.
Social studies, baby. This is eighth grade stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe not behind the pine curtain. We learned this stuff. by the time Joe gets back to the jailhouse to meet his brother, Sam's already gone to escort the stagecoach without him. I could have really gone for a little song here about how Joe's hot and spicy pepper is always getting kicks, but when it comes to helping his brother, he can eat a bag of dicks.
The sad thing is, did you actually write this down?
Have you been waiting on that one? I wanted to learn guitar for tonight's episode. I wanted to fill the void.
Oh, God.
And I just couldn't get the lessons together that quick. But alas, our musical minstrel's nowhere to be found, so Sam rides along with the stagecoach solo. It's so much funner talking about this stuff with you guys dressed up like that. I'll tell you something else. We'll get to this moment later that's really ringing the bell right now. As Sam rides along with stagecoach, Billy Polk and his crew of robbers, including the still braless Mick, descends on them, and within seconds, Mick stabs Sam in the gut with a knife and kills him. Right after Billy had just told him, if you cooperate, I'll let you live. I promise you won't get hurt. Well, Mick says, you need me to do the things you can't, Billy. This whole time I've also failed to mention there's this old, like you said, this homely school marm that's traveling with Sarah. She starts beating Billy with her things. He's like, stop hitting me. I promise you're not going to get hurt. All of a sudden, Mick just shoots her ass. So there's this theme going where as soon as Billy tells someone that they're safe, Mick kills them. And I actually thought that was kind of funny.
No? Actually, it was.
Oh, hey, I mean, all right.
Everyone's not going to...
Why? Okay.
No?
He tells her, I just told her she would live.
I am a man of my word.
She killed the stage driver, too.
Yeah, she's shooting everybody. I don't know. I was looking for something to enjoy, and besides Miss Wheeler...
I was really waiting for Billy to turn around and be like, look, it was all her. She did everything. Every time I said something, she did the opposite of it.
Joe's hot and spicy pepper is always out getting kicks, but when it comes to helping his brother, he can eat a bag of dicks. Oh, come on, God. Guys. We should get a band together.
Oh, God. We don't know any songs.
I look like a what'd you call it?
A red dirt band guy?
I get one of those hats, put it to where you can't see
my face. No, it's not this hat. You got to get the crumpled up side deals.
You got to find some
cap,
sort of...
A trucker hat.
Trucker hat.
Yeah.
But you got to wear it. You got to wear it out yourself. You can't get one of those little all scratched up. It's going to take years. Years to wear that trucker hat.
I've paid my dues. I've worn this hat for like years. Did you ever practice the guitar? No, but I wore this hat for years.
I've slept in it. I've bathed in it. I've eaten dozens of bags of dicks in it.
I've learned four chords. That's enough.
Could be a Bucky's hat? No. Actually, probably, yeah.
Yeah, it probably could.
Or a Yeti hat?
Oh. No, hey. I'm talking about Yeti now. Now that I'm an outdoorsman...
Yeti is my gospel.
I'm just saying that.
Now that how long you can keep ice in a Yeti?
Thing? On the eighth day, God created the Yeti.
Well, no.
Have you invested in any $700
Yeti
cooler?
On the seventh day, he rested by sitting on his Yeti.
And on the 14th day, that shit was still cold.
Of course he was tired. He had to lug that thing around. Good God, you ever... That's way too much.
Well, all the rowdy girls, 1, 2, 3, now they're together. Sarah rides a horse up front, but the nun is being dragged behind by a tether.
That's because she's mouthy.
She is literally, as they're riding away, they've tethered with a rope the nun. They're just kind of pulling her along. Sarah is getting a little bit cozy with Billy. She's like, can't you just let her get on a horse? Looking out for her fellow rowdy girl.
She's using her feminine wiles.
She does. Even though her breasts aren't the most pendulous of the bunch.
Oh, come on, man.
They're pendulous, but they're not
They're
not Miss Wheeler pendulous.
Her breasts
not
are Miss beautiful.
But Billy's like, well, shucks. All right, put her on a horse.
I don't know what about your argument that makes it so compelling, but...
I don't know what two things about you make me want to do whatever you say. I'll figure it out one of these days. Billy, I have a face.
What? I've made my decision.
I'm sorry, I always look down at a 45-degree angle from your face.
Well, that night, Deputy Joe Pepper finds the body of his brother, Sheriff Sam, and he's really shook up. Not really.
Is it just me, or just
it's a Deputy trauma Joe movie, so he shows no emotion whatsoever, because he can't. He's not capable.
Oh, no, Billy.
No, he doesn't even do that. Like, and then he just, like, walks off to find the craft service table.
I was waiting for the guitar guy to come up and be, like, leaning over, playing.
The guitar player, he's feeling some emotion right now. We can't really show it, but
he is. You
can't
see it
feeling
in his face, but it's there, folks.
By the way, am I the only one who thought he kind of looked like Greg Brady?
The guitar player or Pepper?
Pepper. Joe Pepper. I thought he looked like a Brady brother.
Possibly the youngest, Bobby.
Bobby?
When he was older.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I could see that. Little freckles and he had a baby face, which they make fun of a lot. He looks, which is weird because he's nailing all these broads. Like, you're smooth as a baby's ass.
Hung like an Alabama mule. What?
Keep making the jokes like this, you bring up the bag of dicks again.
These old Western analogies doing anything for you guys? This is our last Western analogy. You need another beer there, cowpoke?
Yes. Just so long as you're not reaching into that freezer.
You weren't here during the break. During the break, Tut was like, slide me over one of them cold naked nuns. I tried to slide across the table, just fell over.
It didn't even make it like an inch. It just fell right over.
This table used to have a lot more lacquer on it.
Good job there, barkeep.
All right, well, here you go. Meanwhile, at the bad guys' camp, Mick has pulled one of the other banditos away from the group, and she starts straddling him naked. She scolds him for not killing Billy Polk. She's making power moves throughout. She's trying to pit these guys against each other so she can run the gang. I'm guessing none of that's really spelled out.
Well, I mean, what else is she going to do? If you don't do what I say, I'm just going to kill you.
I'm going to grind you into the dirt.
The singing cowboy didn't come in.
It's 1886. I'm probably going to be dead in 6 months anyway. Just go for it.
All of a sudden, the singing cowboy comes out. If you don't kill Billy Polk, she's going to kill you.
Yeah, got a little singing voice in there. I like that. Well, we fade to black then without knowing really if they screw or not. She just like whispers something. She kind
of
like.
It's like one of the few scenes that they don't
show.
No,
she's on top, but we don't know if they screw. I think they did, but we'll never know. It's a mystery lost to the history of film. We'll never know. It's kind of like that scene in Lost in Translation when Bill Murray whispers to Scarlett Johansson.
No, it's not. It's nothing like that. It is nothing like that.
You'll always wonder if they screwed.
No, I don't.
Julie Strain and that actor who we'll never see again, and I don't even remember his name in this? Come on.
No.
It's etched in your brain.
I won't think about that ever again.
Nobody will, partner. Nobody will.
Matter of fact, we've already shown this movie more love than it has ever seen in cinematic histories.
Well, that's because it's not actually cinema. I should mention, this thing is not full screen. It's a TV. It's pan and scan. We watched this as a square.
Yeah, well, we did.
It was.
I didn't even think about
this,
that.
This was a pan.
Oh,
scan.
I just thought it was like,
which really
HD.
Gave it more to being. I felt like I was in 1880s.
Well, no, I felt like I was watching it on USA Up All Night. Obviously, they couldn't show the boobs, but this is Skinemax.
So this is like a 45-minute movie.
Now, if Julie Strain came out and did the whole, you know, Up All Night thing, that would have been sweet.
That would have been pretty cool.
I got tempted to hit the full screen thing. We all rented this. I'm assuming, or it's free on Amazon.
Free on
Prime.
Amazon Prime.
We didn't pay a dime for this.
Yeah.
But there's a feature there where you can stretch it out to take up the full screen.
The invoice, dude.
I did not want to lose any of the valuable. You know, I know this was
the aspect ratio.
The movie was so carefully composed like this. I didn't want to lose anything on the top and the bottom of the screen.
I didn't want to mess with the cinematographer's interpretation of it.
Well, if I did that, I would never see that she got out of that boat. It was just some of
their clever use of space.
No.
Real quick, before we get to the next morning, starting last third. You're about a little under halfway. You're actually slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Were you guys?
I've been trying to slow.
Were you guys on the cigar? I'm still getting a wonderful cedar.
Yeah, that cedar is definitely present.
I'm getting that whether it's cinnamon, whether it does have an herbal component to it. Maybe that's the. I can't decide if it's coming from the beer or this, the citrus, the orange.
Well, with jalapa, you get a little bit of a natural sweetness to it anyway. And I think that sweetness mixed with the cedar plus the beer, that's where you're getting a bit of the tanginess to it.
The strength has picked up a little bit for me. Has this picked up for you guys?
Yes, it has.
It has, yeah. This was a mild to medium that first half.
Yeah.
It's much more in the medium territory now. Nothing crazy harsh.
Right.
Nothing crazy strong, but definitely the strength has picked up a little bit.
Right.
The cream has died down a little bit. Now I'm just getting a little more of the body of the woodsy, the cedar.
I was going to say, I'm getting a little bit of leather, mostly cedar to it.
It's a good smoke.
It is. It's a very good smoke. Man, Fernandez doesn't dick around.
Well, no, and with because he kind of put a lot of thought and care into this release, considering how many he does, this was clearly something special to him. Maybe now would be a good time to talk about MSRP, the price point, because AJ's known for putting out sticks the working man can afford that really give you.
That's why I'm a fan of him.
Some good bang for your buck. Yeah. You guys want to guess on this guy?
I'd go $7.50, $7.25.
I was going to shoot around $9.
Well, Mr. Tuttle, almost dead on. I picked this up. Fibers can be found on Famous Smoke Shop for $38, so $7.60.
Not bad.
Damn good deal.
Good deal. And priced right. Priced right.
I agree.
Now, one of the things that confuses me with Fernandez is that he's very prolific about blending for other labels. You mentioned, quite a few at the start of it. So I'm always kind of curious as to, it seems like I run across his name more on other labels than I actually do his own stuff, with the exception of New World here lately.
And like the AF1 that we did, that was his namesake.
But I don't see them in, at least in Central Texas, brick and mortars. In brick and mortars, I don't, with the exception of New World, I don't really find a lot of AJ Fernandez brand cigars.
No. Big through online retailers, like Famous.
I just find that interesting because he is such a known commodity in the cigar industry that, his own label push isn't, front and center in my brick and mortar.
And I want to say he got, he won Factory of the Year on Half Wheels end of the year, either last year or the year before, just because, not just the amount of work he does for his own labels and others, but the quality. I mean, the guy is, his reputation is
I'm a
rock,
fan.
Rock solid.
I'm a real fan of his blending style. There's very few Fernandez cigars that I don't like.
Construction is beautiful.
I got a little bit of peeling right where my label was, but I think that was for me peeling the label off.
Yeah,
I think it. I did the same thing. The wrapper kind of caught with the adhesive of the brand of the.
Did you guys see? There's a mysterious word written on the inside of your band there, or is that just mine? Did I win something? Do you guys have that on there? There's a something written in cursive. Does it look just like this? Is that handwritten, or does they all look the same?
They all look the same.
Yeah.
I think...
Another mystery. Who knows what that says? I'll look it up. I'll let you know on the episode page.
Phenomenines.
That's a lot of...
Schizoplism. Mixoplick.
Yes, oh. Piddalick.
Damn it.
It's a pretty wrapper. I like it. Or a pretty label.
I'll come back.
Beetlejuice.
I'll come back towards the end. The beer has been the same. Just very herbal, very smooth, very delicious.
I was fanning of it when I first drank it. I'm still a fan of it.
So the next morning, Deputy Joe follows the fresh trail of horse shit to track the Billy's gang to their new campsite.
Well, I like at this point now, all of a sudden, he has the skills of Billy from Predator.
He can track anybody.
He's down there feeling the horse shit, the dirt,
apparently,
looking into the distance.
Apparently, everybody in Westerns can track just everything.
It was four horses all walking in line. How can you tell? I see them right over that ridge.
Spent 2 hours looking for my fucking keys the other day.
Well, I'm just amazed because, like, you always hear stories about the Indian trackers, you know, the Army hiring Indian trackers. But in Western movies, everybody can track.
Yeah, put your ear to the ground. You know exactly what's going on.
I hear things. What?
There's stuff. 13 of them. They're horny. They're on the hunt for a big bag of dicks. I should really write a Western. I think I have a knack. I think I have a knack for the world. Fistful of dicks.
I was just about to say fistful of dicks. Oh, God.
For a few dicks more. The good, the bad, and the dicks.
The good, the bad, and the dicks.
Well, as he finds them, of course, and he spies down on them from above, all the bad guys are just sitting on these logs in silence chugging whiskey. They're not talking.
TNCC style.
TNCC style. You been reading my notes? Actually, I said us style. No, they're just sitting there in complete silence, not looking at each other, drinking.
It's like men, should do.
Is that what you did on your fishing trip?
Yes, shut up. Don't talk to me. Just chug this whiskey.
We tend to talk. There are some nights where we don't feel like talking.
Well, I mean, you know, at this point, how many days together have they been? What are they going to talk about?
That was an interesting tree back there.
That's true. If you've been traveling with these same dudes for like a year or two,
you've said all the stories, man. Hey, remember that time? Yes.
It was a hell of a cactus 3 miles back. Yeah.
I ain't never seen that before.
You know, they had that talk. You know what? For now, when we drink, can we just shut up? Like, shut up.
Look, I'm...
Well, Velvet and Sarah are over in the water, kind of cleaning their hands. Velvet loves to bathe. She's very... Which is a good thing for us later on.
Yeah.
She warns Sarah, you know what? You better hurry up and pick a man. Oh, Sarah's a virgin, by the way.
Yeah.
You better hurry up and...
I don't believe that for a minute.
I didn't really pick up on that. But.
Oh, yeah, it is, because she says, you better hurry up and pick a man to have sex with, because once they're nice and liquored up, you're not going to have much say in it. And just like that, this dude finishes his bottle. Last couple drops, throws it down, and then immediately grabs her and throws her on the ground to rape her. Well, eventually she's yelling for help. Billy comes over and he tosses the guy off of her, and then he jumps on her. He's going to rape her, and mix all four. She's like, "Do it, Billy. Show her who's boss and all that.
You rape her good.
You rape her real good." And then Billy has a moment where Sarah's like, "Don't do it, Billy. You're not like these other guys. You're not like them. Don't do this. You're different than these scumbags." And you know what? He listens to her.
Your giant heaving bosoms. They speak to me.
Spin pinwheels. Must do what you say. I've felt like this since I dated Miss Wheeler back in high school.
It's like Clockwork Orange. He's just looking at it.
But no, you know what? He doesn't rape her. As a matter of fact, he gets off of her and he kind of dusts her off. And Mick is not happy about this.
Yeah, but then he's like,
"I kept waiting for her to go. You know what? Y'all get out of the way. I'm gonna rape her.
I'm not gonna rape her. You guys rape her."
Yeah, but then he stops that too. Like, no one's raping her. That's gonna be so confusing for her. Like, yay! Oh,
yeah! Oh, yay! Oh. Which,
you were gonna make a Baylor frat party story, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. Okay. The doctor's not here.
terrible. Oh. Terrible. Well, the good news is she doesn't get raped.
Yes. Because I was about to say, because, I mean, the way that they were headed in the scene, I was like, I didn't know whether they were going to stop it or not.
I thought Mick was going to rape her.
I was just like,
start bashing her with those knockers.
I don't want to see this.
No, I didn't want to see it. It was the thing, it's very, with the music choices and everything's been very lighthearted so far. I did not want
to
see her.
Oh, I was about to say, this kind of turned a little dark
right
there.
I never
want
to see a rape scene, but I certainly didn't want to see a rape scene here, and I'm glad it didn't happen. Well, nearby, another douchebag is attempting to rape Velvet the Nun. Oh, they can't rape her, so this guy goes over and starts raping the nun when she, like we've seen before, grabs a rock and bashes it over his head. Throughout all these attempted rapes, there's a really silly goofball music playing. But it's also a surprisingly intricate score, like a lot of different instruments. I got a shout out here to composer Richard Ziegler for keeping it weird, and it's a good little score for this movie.
And it's also complex too. there's a lot of throwbacks to the macaroni guy.
Ennio Macaroni, yes.
Right. And so it, the
greatest composer of art ever. Let's just call him Macaroni.
No, he's no John Williams, but, you know. He did a really good job.
Think of a Western without his score.
He did a really good job of playing to the Western sentiments and hitting the Western notes.
It was this. It was the perfect score for this movie.
It was
a better score than this movie.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. It was a far better score and a better composer than this movie ever deserved. How they got this guy, I don't know. He must have been just an up-and-coming guy or whatever. Owed some guy some money. They probably had a picture of him in a bag of dicks. I don't know.
Damn you, bag of dicks.
You can't prove Richard Ziegler was hanging out with me in my aunt's basement. Well, Richard Ziegler? Dick Ziegler?
Dick Ziegler.
Oh, my God. This is Illuminati type shit.
Jeez, he just hit his cowboy hat on the microphone.
I'm not used to wearing this goddamn thing.
Well, now that she doesn't need his help, she just knocked the guy out herself, and she's going to rescue herself. Guess who shows up? Deputy Joe finally climbs down from the rock.
Gun drawn, ready to go.
I can see everything happening in the dark.
And he orders Sarah, you're coming with me. Or no, I'm sorry, he orders Velvet, Shannon Tweed. He's like, you're coming with me. She insists that they go get Sarah. She even says that's her sister trying to convince him.
She wants the money.
He's like, no way. When she gives him more, he punches her in the nose.
I'm sorry. This is such a bad scene for me to just absolutely laugh out loud at.
Dude, he bops her right in the nose, picks her up, and runs away with her to get away from the bad guys.
It was basically like she started arguing, I ain't got time for this, knocked him out. And I knew I shouldn't laugh at it, and I totally did.
Well, that's our hero in this film, folks. He punches out a nun, so she'll run away from the bad guys with him, and he leaves a young virgin to die. That's our hero. If anything, the TNCC should kind of get behind this guy. Remember when I said we'd
She's
have
a virgin? Not anymore.
Remember when I said we'd have a fifth fella here for our 50th episode? It's Joe Pepper.
Oh.
Well, times have not been kind.
I was hoping for the real estate guy.
Don't look him in the eyes. That's all I can say. Oh, God, we should totally get the cowboy real estate agent to sit in with us.
He's got to be somewhere around here.
Celebrity guest?
That was Sean and Hutto. He's got to be somewhere around here.
Dude, if he wore that outfit.
The Big Tex outfit. I just got to tell you that this is the worst podcast I've ever heard.
This is the most awkward thing I've ever been a part of, sitting here with these. Oh, my God, these guys drink a lot. I've been known to indulge.
Now, I've been known to indulge a little bit in my time.
But good God.
Well, we're then treated to a very slow-paced and tender lovemaking scene between Sarah, the virgin, and Billy Polk. Man, this guy really lives up to his name. He's poking everybody. Do you think that's why they called him that?
Pretty sure that's exactly why they called him that.
It's the total opposite of the sex scene he had with Mick, where it's all fast and just crazy, frenetic sex.
Yeah, but I really think that was all her, not him.
True.
He wants to make love.
She is pure mayhem in the sack. He wants something else.
I saw this scene, and I could only think of Eddie Murphy in Raw, when he was like, you know, when I look at white people in their love scenes, and it's all like, oh, I'm going to make love to you. I'm going to be so tender and make love to you. No, you want a guy to put your hair in and say, I'm going to fuck. No, I'm sorry.
Well, this session fits that stereotype. It's very sweet and gentle.
I just got a little too.
It is her first time.
Well.
And as she moans in ecstasy, everyone can hear it in the camp, including Mick. She's not happy about this. She's pounding the dirt with her hands. She's so angry about this.
Drinking.
She wanted Sarah's first time to be via rape, not this. She's evil.
She is pure evil.
6'1" of evil.
Pure evil. As Velvet and Deputy Joe ride away, he wants to know which one of those scoundrels killed his brother. She tells him, but unlike Charles Bronson in Once Upon a Time in the West, who was out for revenge, or Ethan Hawke in Valley of Violence, the two westerns we've done that are all based on revenge, you have absolute zero faith that this dude's going to get revenge or even try to avenge his brother's death. I mean, this guy's a total putz.
No, I have pretty much latched on to the quality of movie that I'm watching, and I know he's going to win in the end.
This waterhead ain't doing shit.
By the way, I'm not. I, I we've bragged on the composition of the movie and the music score on it. That's about the end of where I brag on the audio work of this movie, because there's like a whole bunch of scenes where you hear airplanes going overhead, and I was just
it was Sweetwater was a hub for Continental Airlines.
It pretty much was, because here I am. It's like you got the horse in the background, and it's like I know on one scene it's a deputy and the nun, and you plainly hear the airplane flying overhead.
Well, here's the thing. He's not totally useless, this guy, as much as I made him out to be, because it's through his eyes, his point of view, that we then get to watch Velvet take yet another bath. She bathes herself in a. Is this the stream where she's bathing herself, or is that?
Yes.
This is the stream.
This is the stream.
And she kind of caresses her naughty parts and.
Seducing.
So we did get to see that.
Shannon Tweed.
She's a very, she's got a husky bedroom voice.
She does.
And she is a larger kind
she's
of big bone.
A mature woman.
She is. And they make a lot of jokes in this movie about how old she is, which I guess is just because the Old West, because like people don't live to be past their 40s. But... She looks dynamic. She
well, 2000.
Well,
think
about this. I mean, we were watching her in the '80s, and this is 20 years beyond that, and she still looks fabulous.
She's probably what, early 40s in this.
I would say so.
She's probably about 60 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 43, 44.
She's a good looking woman.
Well, yeah. You think Gene Simmons is marrying a girl just to be nice? don't. Sue me for that.
I was about to say, I didn't say that, Mr. Simmons.
Well, it's a short bath, as Billy and his gang soon arrive in town as well. They storm the tiny saloon with Billy offering up. They've tied up Mick now at this point. She's such a troublemaker, they tied her up. And he offers Mick to the bartender in exchange for some whiskey. Seems like a fair trade. While Sarah bathes herself upstairs, another bath scene. And that's the... No, we've seen her boobs in a lovemaking scene. That's right.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Well, Velvet, we see Velvet taking another bath. She just bathed in the stream, though.
I was about to say, this is like her fourth bath or whatever.
No, Velvet is bathing in the town in the hotel.
Well,
and
at least
Sarah,
they're trying to give you some sort of context for the nakedness.
No, I'm sorry. Third try's a charm. Sarah's bathing. She didn't have a bath in the stream. Velvet comes in with a gun and demands her money back.
Yes.
That's what's happening here. Sarah counters with, "You know what? I know your mama was colored." That's hurtful. To which Velvet just punches her ass out. While all this is going down, Billy and the boys are down the saloon listening to a guy play acoustic guitar who, as I mentioned, was not the acoustic guitar playing guy that we've seen throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
Could have been a great moment there.
It would have been.
If he narrated that scene that he was in, like, "You boys are making me..." Like if he actually, like... that'd be a little meta scene, like...
"I was sitting here minding my own business, and these cowpokes coming in."
Well, Deputy Joe enters the saloon and challenges Billy Polk to a poker game.
And,
I never got that.
I love the fact that...
Billy Polk, poker game?
No.
It doesn't work. No. If his name was Billy Poker, that would be different.
That would be a better name for him.
Poke her.
Well, now Velvet's ready to take a chance. She's ready to take flight. Well, back inside, Joe and Billy gamble into the night.
Oh, God.
Soon, sweet Sarah will awake, her money lost and gone. Now the stage is set for the final act as the curtain rises at dawn.
Oh.
I wrote that myself.
No, you did not.
So my words.
I believe you.
You might have typed that down.
Why did I put quotation marks around all the lyrics? You guys are going to check this later.
I was about to say, you might have typed it, but those aren't your words.
No, the cowboy tells us what's going on once again. With Velvet now on the run with her money, we saw her knock out a bunch of Billy's posse on her way out, too. Deputy and Billy face off in the street. Deputy Joe and Billy. After a brief tussle, Billy explains, "You know what? I've learned I'm not like the others in my crew. I'm different than them. And it wasn't me that killed your brother, Joe. In fact, it was Mick." Remember her, Mick? who, by the way, has cut her way through the ropes, and now she's out hunting down Velvet on her own. She wants that money, too. Things are heating up.
Uh-huh.
Time to get a little story going?
It's a little story.
Yeah.
I forgot, we also see Sarah riding around on a horse wearing nothing but some lingerie at this point.
Yes.
Things are jiggling up and down with a capital J. Yowzers.
Yes.
This was the first scene I saw her, and I was like, whoa, like that would turn a guy like Billy to the right side of the law. Like, I don't see how that thing was contained in these things.
It wasn't.
No, barely. Barely. She ends up taking a break to stretch out her boobs when she's captured by Mick and some random Mexican dude. Where the fuck did he come from?
I don't know.
Did he work at the saloon?
I thought that was the guy that she was like, you should have shot Billy.
Oh, is he a member of their crew?
I think so.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It just does not matter.
You know, that guy was listening to the whole podcast like, I wonder if they're going to talk about me. That was the best experience of my life working on that movie. They're going to get to it.
That guy can eat a bag of dicks.
That guy can eat a big bag of dicks. I'm here to bring that stigma of eating a bag of dicks and
into the light.
I want to remove the black cloud over eating bags of dicks. Well, Deputy Joe finds Velvet seductively bathing herself in a stream. Did I print out the same page twice?
You probably did.
Nope. She's bathing herself again in a stream. God, she loves baths. Hey, I'm all for it. Especially back in those days.
Maybe that's how she's lived to be so long.
That's true. That's why she's so long in the tooth, as they say.
That is true.
It's just most of these Westerns we watch, they get like a bath a year.
She's taking like five baths a day.
Stop the horses. Velvet's got to bathe again. Well, he suddenly realizes that maybe she's not, as he watches her bathe and kind of caress her boobs and stuff, maybe she's not a nun after all. This kid's smart. He's catching on. Again, there should have been a sex scene here where he goes in the water with her, but they drop the ball. Instead, she gets really dizzy as she gets out of the thing, and she passes out, but not before telling him, my real name's Viola.
Yeah.
What does any of this mean? Who fucking knows? Who cares? None of it makes any sense at this point.
There's like a whole bunch of breadcrumbs about backstory, and they don't explore any of it.
But once she wakes up from passing out, her hair is all big and teased. Yagboy, you're a historian. Did they have, like, electronic curlers and hairspray in 1886?
Yes.
Shows you how much I know.
It wasn't electronic, but they had curlers back
then. Dude, sure, she is done up like she's going to the prom. And then, guess what? They start doing it.
But of course.
Even though he still thinks she might be a nun, and he warns her that Comancheros are patrolling the area.
Wait, what was that word?
Comancheros?
Comancheros?
Comancheros. Whatever those are.
Okay.
I think there were some of those in the party mix. Or the poker mix. Did you guys get some of these Comancheros?
No. They're...
He doesn't say what the... I don't know what a Comanchero is. I know what a Comanche is.
Comancheros is like the Spanish word for like Mexican brigands. Or Indian brigands.
Brigadoos?
Yeah. Brigands.
Brigands?
Brigands.
Not Brigadoon. That was...
Not pantaloons. Brigadoons.
Johnny Moe's.
Trains coming in full of Mexican pantaloons. Headed straight for the Levi Strauss factory. Anyway.
They did have Levi's.
Yeah, they did. I don't know what a Comanchero is. So thanks for making fun of me.
It's like an Indian outlaw.
We'd learn later.
He's like Tim McGraw.
We'd learn
half
later.
Cherokee and Choctaw.
Country Western superstar Tim McGraw?
Country Western superstar Tim McGraw. He's an Indian outlaw.
I have a confession to make. The women in my household were... I was making dinner the other night. They had on the Country Music Awards, and Country Western Music superstar Tim McGraw came on the TV. And he was doing a duet with that wife of his that used to do the football
country
song.
Country Western superstar Faith Hill.
Country Western music superstar Faith Hill. And the whole song was about loving your mama. It's like, you better love your mama. And like, she would look across the stage like, you better love your mama.
You better love your mama.
Do you know the song?
No, I don't.
It's very close.
No, there's only four chords in country music.
It was moving me to turn the channel.
I was about to say, come on now.
Man, did I ever tell you guys my close encounter with country western music star Tim McGraw?
Mm-mm.
I actually
never heard this story.
One night we ran in, we were on our way to some function, and ran into a grocery store here in the real Central Texas. I think we had to get like a card or maybe like a bottle of wine or something. We were on our way to like a party and ran into this grocery store, and while she was going to get whatever we needed to get or whatever, I just kind of found myself in the cologne aisle, and their little free samples there, they had Tim McGraw's country western music superstar Tim McGraw's official scent. It had him on it with a black hat, and I'm like, well, how could this go wrong at the party? So I took the Tim McGraw cologne, and I'm like,
douse myself in the essence of country western music.
What is that smell? It smells like Bigfoot's dick.
Mrs. Cade, if there's a popularity concert, if there's a popularity contest at this party tonight, consider it won. So, dude, finally I get the signal like, hey, I got the shit. Let's get out of here. We're walking. Actually, it started at the checkout lane. Like, she kind of gave me that look like.
Smells like Bigfoot dick.
We walk outside, and like, it's, you can tell, like, she's like, it wasn't somebody in the store. It's me she's smelling. And we're like walking.
Oh, my God, it's you.
We're walking out to my truck. She's like, what is that? Like, what'd you do? And I'm like, I was waiting for you to ask. I happen to smell exactly like country western music superstar Tim McGraw. She's like, what are you talking, you idiot? Like, this is like, you know, she's used to shit like this, but not. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, they had some Tim McGraw and cologne in there. I thought I'd get jazzed up for the party. Little lady. Dude, she was so pissed. I had no chance. You can't get that off of you. I mean, it's like a scarlet tea for Tim McGraw. The whole party, I was like walking around. I was just so self-conscious about it. I went from thinking it was the best idea in the world to like everywhere that I went up to at the party, like, hey, man, how's it going? What you got in the keg there? Like,
wait, what is that smell?
So I just put my hat down low and just kind of.
I don't know where the black cowboy hat came from.
It just grew out of my head. It hurts.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, that. True story. I don't know if that cologne is still available. Check your local Walmart. Or Academy Sports and Outdoors. Wherever fine male fragrances are sold.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Wouldn't advise it. God, where was I?
I say end the show on that one.
Comancheros. Well, it's a very tame sex scene between those two. Actually, it could be PG-13 if it weren't for like the occasional nipple close-up. Hers. Not his. Thank God. Did y'all catch that bizarre moment during the sex scene where he takes her hands and puts them on his butt cheeks and holds them there? What's that all about?
Is that wrong?
Looked at me like that was like totally normal. Look, I wear Tim McGraw cologne. Nothing's normal to me. I don't know what normal is anymore. No, you guys ever done that move?
No.
You're not doing anything with those hands. Put them there. I don't know. I thought it was weird. Because he wouldn't let her leave him there. Like, he held him there. Feel my ass. It's weird, right?
Well.
I'm not riding around on this horse for nothing.
Well.
When you have buns like I do.
She apparently, he likes the way she's kneading those little boy hairless butt cheeks because he says, I'm guessing you're not a nun after all. The genius. And what she says, I guess you're not a little boy after all. And then she grabs his hairless butt cheeks one more time. You boys think these two have what it takes to make it the long haul together?
Oh, I do. I totally
sure.
do.
Sure. Why not?
I thought about it, that they could make it last, the age difference and whatnot, until Joe says, hell, you look like you might even love me. And she just bursts out laughing. Kind of like what my then girlfriend did when I had the Tim. I think I was married at that point when I wore the Tim McGraw. You're just looking at that because you love me. No, no, I'm rethinking all my life choices. That's what Tim McGraw cologne does. It makes you rethink things. Not you wearing it. The ones around you.
It's your love.
Did Travis Tritt have his own cologne?
Probably.
I bet he did.
I wasn't privy to the marketing decisions of the Travis Tritt.
C-O-L-O-G-N-E.
I smell C-O-L-O-G-N-E.
He totally would have done it, too.
He totally would have. Oh. That would have been his commercial. Damn it. Oh, if it hasn't been done, I'm pitching that to him next week.
Yo, hey, Travis, I got a friend. He's got this idea. Is this the guy that ate that bag of dicks?
Yeah, well.
All right, don't judge him on that. This is a great idea.
Oh, like there was no bags of dicks on the Travis Tritt tour.
I cannot deny that.
By law.
By law, I have to tell you.
Seriously, folks, go listen to our last episode. Cowboy Realtor kicks ass. Meanwhile, somewhere else on the dark prairie. So dark, actually, you can't see what the fuck's going on in this last part of the movie.
Which is weird because
yet
every
these people
other
move around like they've got perfect night vision.
Well, every night scene that this thing is shot, it's obvious that it's a day with a blue screen on.
Not in post. They put a blue screen over the lens.
Over the lens, and I was just kind of like, all right.
Yeah. Well, Mick, our sexy 6'1" Mick, has Sarah tied up. And she's telling her that the next day she's going to hand Sarah over to the Comancheros.
And they're going to rape you good.
She says, you're going to wish you hadn't screwed Billy because they would be nicer to you if you were a virgin. But now, oh no, they're going to be rough with her now. I don't know anything about Comancheros. I don't know how that works. But again,
I think their Comancheros don't really care about
Sarah's gagged up. You can't really see if she's like frightened in this scene. It's so dark, you can't even. I think she's scared, but you can't see anything going on in it. It's like frustrating, sort of.
Is it?
I didn't care at this point. it's just so dark out. And I guess I was wrong about Velvet's feelings towards Deputy Joe, because we see her right before dawn pack up her bag of money and start walking off away from him as he sleeps. But she stops herself. She looks back at him.
Maybe I do love him.
She can't leave him. So she goes back and lays down next to him. And I thought I saw him smile. Like, he wasn't really sleeping. It was a test. But again, it was so dark, I couldn't tell what was going on.
You know, she just fell in love with those hairless butt cheeks.
And that's why you just gotta grab her hands and place them on the biscuits.
That's what saved me that night of the Tim McGraw cologne.
You grabbed her hands, placed them on the biscuits?
I'm like, hey, remember this. Don't let go. You better love your mama. As the sun rises in the east, Billy and his crew sneak up on Mick's camp, knock her out cold. That's the second rowdy girl's got punched in the face, and they rescue Sarah. Sun rises in the east, is that correct?
Sun does rise in the east.
I learned that from Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Certain as the sun rises in the east. I have a little doll in my house that sings that like over and over again.
I call her my wife.
I learn everything about the world through dolls that I step on when I'm drunk, trying to make my way to the couch to sleep.
Yeah, at least you can blame that on your daughter.
We get it, Ernie. You love rubber duckies. Shut up! Well, she asks why Billy didn't just kill Mick when he had the chance. And he reminds her, you know what? You're the one that told me I'm not like them. I'm not a killer. He also tells her to keep quiet as he's cutting her loose because there's Comancheros everywhere around these parts. But this is three times they've alluded to this army of Comancheros. At this point, that's the only reason I'm hanging in there because I'm like, with this budget and this, I really want to see what these Comancheros are like. But guess what? We're never going to see them.
Why don't we see the Comancheros? How do we know there's so many? Well, they ride single file to hide their numbers.
I smelled a big pile of their horse shit. There's 70 of them. Different height and weights.
One walked with a lamp.
No, we never actually get, unfortunately, we never get to see the Comancheros. I thought they were Indians.
They are Indians.
Oh. You said Mexicans.
I didn't say that's Mexican. A Mexican word for it.
Oh, okay. Mexicans call Indians Comancheros.
Indian Outlaws.
That's a Travis Tritt song, isn't it?
That's a Tim McGraw song.
Yes. Tim McGraw does Indian Outlaw. Yes.
All right.
Half country, Choctaw?
Half Cherokee and Choctaw.
Choctaw.
Country Western music superstar.
The weird thing, Devil's Candy style, when I wore that cologne, I started singing Tim McGraw songs that I had never heard before. In perfect pitch.
Yeah,
I was possessed.
Yeah, it's your love.
Where'd you get that black vest? Through you.
Why are you painting pictures of Tim McGraw?
Don't take the girl. Indian Outlaw.
That's a movie. I'm going to call it Indian Outlaw. Copyright 2017, Tuesday Night. Think we get Tim on board?
It would be like Indian Outlaw Part 2. Half Cherokee, part Choctaw.
I just want a guy who goes into a grocery store at night and sprays on that fucking cologne and his life goes to hell.
It's a biopic, huh? Biopic?
It's a biopic.
Okay.
Or biopica. Internet film experts, folks.
Go to the Gladiators.
IFC's deleting their tweets supporting us. We're so sorry we led you to these morons.
I'm pretty sure IMD has removed my credit.
What's the Mexican word for us? Los idiots. Well, across the canyon, Joe and Velvet hear gunshots coming from the abandoned mining town of Silverton because they're mining for silver.
No, that didn't occur to me at all.
So they head that way. Let's go towards the gunshots. I guess because Joe still has the unfinished business of avenging his dead brother.
He's got to avenge him.
Well, anyways, you guys still with me?
Yeah. Kind of.
Once he's there in Silverton, he's ambushed by a bad guy gunfighter who says it's payback time for that time Joe knocked him out when he was drunk the other night. Did you guys remember this guy or that scene at all?
No. Yeah, I actually did. It was during the poker scene. Guy came up making fun of him, and Deputy Pepper knocked his ass a cold.
Well, I guess so.
And Billy was kind of like, I like this kid.
Remember in Devil's Candy last episode, we said if you don't care, you can't scare?
Yeah.
There needs to be something for that. If you don't care...
You don't remember shit.
You just... Who gives a fuck? I didn't remember this guy at all, but it was a big scene for him. You know, he's listening to the podcast like, all right, they're getting to my big showdown with Joe Pepper. This was like Charles Bronson at the end of Once Upon a Time in the West. This is my moment. You guys remember his dumbass?
Do you have a harmonica? I don't think so.
I didn't remember him. But anyway, once he's there, before the dude can shoot him, which he's about to do, he gets shot in the back. It's one of those, say your prayer. He goes down. Velvet shoots him in the back with her Derringer. And
from 50 paces. Because it's so accurate.
One of the most accurate or non-accurate guns.
Well, gunfire then starts raining down on them from the rooftops of Silverton as Joe and Velvet scamper off for cover. Velvet runs smack into the barrel of Sarah's gun. She's got a big-ass gun now. Hello, sister, Sarah coolly snarls as she demands the bag of money. Not the other bag. But Velvet, as we know, has a gun of her own, and now we're in a real big showdown with those two. But just then, Joe Pepper and his pistol join Velvet's side, two against one. Billy Polk, all of a sudden, and one of his bad guys appears out of nowhere beside Sarah, So we've gone from a showdown now to a Mexican standoff.
A Mexican standoff. Especially when...
Suddenly, Billy's buddy that it gets shot dead and falls to the ground by Mick. She's back. And she's got that weird dude that we didn't know where he came from either. He's with her. So now it's a double Mexican standoff. Three parties of two.
It's a menage trace?
Dois?
Trace.
Yeah, it's a trace Mexican showdown. But they'd call it a
Mexico.
A Mexico trace? Trace de Mexico?
I don't know if we're supposed to be talking about this. Well, it's intense. You got three groups of two all pointing their guns at each other.
This could go any direction at all.
Except entertaining.
And for some reason, I picked up on the fact that when they were showing these guns, none of them were freaking loaded. No bullets in any of them.
Oh. Well, don't want anybody to get hurt. a lot of prop, low-budget movies, here's a little trivia for you, a lot of low-budget movies, their insurance can't cover the type of prop guns you see in, like, John Wick or...
Yeah.
So... I experienced this in one of my films. We only had the insurance policy we had to shoot. We could have prop guns on screen, but they could not have... If you had a live round in the gun, you had to use a gun with a fully plugged barrel.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really work when you're pointing it at the camera.
At the camera,
and
yeah.
But
it's weird because I did notice that there
was...
Yeah,
but the revolver, you see the guns coming through the cylinders.
But at the same time, there were scenes, the same style of shots that did have bullets in the revolvers. It was like three quarters of the shots didn't have any ammunition in it, and then like some shots did have ammunition in it.
Well,
But I didn't actually check on the barrel, so I didn't notice that.
Things are about to get real, boys.
Now I got to rewatch this damn movie just to check the barrels.
Welcome to my world. Well, a cocky Mick can't help but taunt Deputy Joe, telling him that his brother Sam was so beautiful when I killed him. This leads him to firing his gun off straight at her, which leads to everyone firing their guns off. You know how these Mexican standoffs work. Never does just one dude do it and everybody else just like, let's see what happens. Everybody just starts shooting like crazy. Well, Mick, Billy, and Joe are all hit. But Joe somehow finds the strength to shoot a still mouthy Mick, still talking shit, shoots her dead, we think, as Sarah grabs a pistol off the ground and orders Billy to give her the money. She really wants this money to get to San Francisco. You gotta give her that. She's persistent. But Billy is an even bigger pussy than we thought. He crawls over to Velvet, and Joe Pepper joins their team.
What a bunch of assholes.
I like Billy.
Well,
I've sided with Team Billy.
He's actually not a bad little actor either. He did okay in this. I'm going to give one person a little bit of some. Billy.
Yeah.
Billy Poker did decent in this.
I thought Shannon did all right.
And the sad thing is I listed off 200 credits for the bad actresses. I didn't look up this guy on IMDb at all. Poor Billy. Well, he crawls over to Joe Pepper and his team. So now it's Sarah and Velvet with their guns trained on each other. Velvet isn't backing down. She ain't giving up that sack of money. She's gone a long ways to keep it. $20,000. I don't know if I ever mentioned this. It's $20,000. It's a lot of money. When Sarah realizes that Velvet, the older statesman, she tells by her eyes, you're not getting this money. She lowers her gun. She gives up. And now the sun is setting on the story of the Rowdy Girls. With lives as tougher than any man's world. And in this land of freedom, still great dangers lurk. But if you stand tall and you're quick on the draw, a woman can still make it work. And you'll ride out west for freedom, just like the Rowdy Girls. That was not the cowboy singing. That was my original. Wrote that for you guys. Cross out the song notes I put in here next to the thing. Little note graphics. That certainly is. There's a little bit left here. Before we do that, though, Yak Boy, you and I are about about done with this guy. I really was not expecting the strength increase.
It
in the
did.
Last third.
Yeah,
it
picked up nicely. Picked up really
it stayed,
nicely.
It stayed with it. It wasn't like an anomaly. It really became a really full medium smoke here at the end.
Yeah.
Cedar, I wish that cream had stuck around longer. But it does, even separate from the beer, it did have that kind of citrus zest, kind of floral element to it. It's a good smoke.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
I really stick by my guns as I would love to have this in the morning with a
I think you're dead right about that.
Absolutely.
Throw some nice coffee on there. That'd be good.
I don't say this about Lel Square. I don't think this is a pairing with alcohol cigar.
It's serviceable.
Maybe some wine. This might go well with some red wine.
Ooh, a dry?
Yeah.
Dry would be nice.
I can see that.
Not beer. It's not a beer cigar.
I don't think so. I mean, it's serviceable as a beer cigar, but yeah, I think the wine would be good. I think coffee would be excellent with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Three thumbs up.
Three thumbs up.
Three thumbs up on the beer.
And two beers around.
Huh?
One for Mr. Cody and one for me.
As Fritz sings, "Bring Another Round," I'm getting told
Get
to bring
another round. I'm a fan of the Naked Nun. I am too.
I will be revisiting this one in the hot summer months.
I concur.
For sure.
I concur.
You guys, I know you've had their darker entries, Velvet's Mom Style, on tap. You ever have this on tap?
The Naked Nun, yes, we have.
I think you had tried it.
I had tried it, but it's been some time.
Oh, you're a liar, because earlier you said you never had it. I don't know who to trust anymore.
I don't remember him saying that.
It's a Mexican standoff between the three of us. Yo! Roll! Re-roll! As we waited for one of the Tuesday Night Cigar Club members to make a move, we realized...
it would never go into it.
It would never happen. 3 hours later.
Another round.
It is a really good beer.
Just like Fritz's cover, she's a winner.
She's a winner. No ladies in this movie.
No, there are not.
Before they all ride their separate ways, Sarah has the decency to give Velvet back her mama's locket. We never do learn why Shannon Tweed had a black mom.
It really would have been so much more interesting.
I'm guessing the prop person went into Sweetwater to the pawn shop. They're like, we need a locket. It was the only one that they had. Like, all right. Use this one.
I don't know. It really just felt more like a Orgasmo. Stunt cock! Does anyone see a problem with this? Whatever.
Whatever. Good point. So she gives it back, which is nice. She also takes a little bit of money out of the bag.
Well, I did do a little bit of research. Quickly. Inflation calculator.
Yeah.
The $20,000...
If Velvet had invested in a mutual fund...
Well, no. Inflation calculator, the $20,000 that she had actually is more like, in today's dollars, $500,000.
Oh, back then, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, good chunk of change.
So that is why everybody's fighting over the money.
Well, $20,000 still... I'd kill you guys for $20,000. Well, I'd kill you.
I don't know if I'd kill you, but I'd shoot you.
I'd beat you over the head with a bag of dicks.
Damn you, bag of dicks.
Great. How am I supposed to face my wife after that?
This probably would hurt a lot more if you weren't eating them at the same time. It was a heavy sack when you started. I can't help it. They're so good.
Why are you wearing so much Jim McGraw cologne?
Actually, that one is. I yield. It's the cologne. C-O-L-O-G-N-E.
The Mexican stand up.
Oh, God. My eyes. They sting.
Faith Hill must have the constitution of an ancient warrior to sleep with this man. You think you're coming to bed, Tim? All right, I'll shower. Hot water, Tim. Hot water.
But if that's the essence of Tim McGraw, it...
Do you think they just squeezed out his black cowboy hat into a bottle? Like, this is what I am. Make it this. I thought it smelled good. Obviously, I have one squirt. Like, you know, you do that first spray into the air, like, and then like dance around it.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
You,
oh yeah.
You didn't just see the squirt and like run through it. You just sprayed it right at you.
It smells like a guy in a black suit and black hat, but he's singing harmless music. There's no edge to it whatsoever. I don't want people to be afraid of me at this party.
Like my truck.
I want to be safe.
I'm trucking good.
He has a song called I'm Trucking Good.
It's something like that. It's horrible.
I like my truck. I wouldn't write a song about it.
But you're not a country music superstar.
Country.
You got to give Western. You got to give the people what they want,
you know
what? Man.
Ever since you wore that hat and you got that vest, you guys have been riding around on your high horse around here.
When you get a vest, it's damn it. Sets you apart.
Can I wear the vest next episode?
Yes. There's the power that comes with the hat.
If I wore that vest and that hat, I would look like that dude from the Blazing Saddles.
I would have brought
the mayor, whatever that big guy is.
Mongo?
No, not Mongo. Is it the mayor? That big? He's in all those movies. That big guy, slick guy.
Yeah.
Kind of boss hog with a little more. Less racism. We should do Blazing Saddles on the show sometime.
Absolutely.
Or is that just one that everybody's seeing? Like, we just be saying how funny it is.
I don't think so, because you could go into a lot of backstory on it.
That's a lot of work for me.
Yeah.
I'd rather stick to the unfound gems.
Oh, come on. You spent like 3 days researching this crap.
The Rowdy Girls. What's your favorite scene in Blazing Saddles? This is the point where I just start talking about other Westerns. What's your favorite scene in Blazing Saddles?
Oh, man.
You know what mine is? When they're the cowboys are chasing them, and they come to the toll booth set up, and Slim Pickens like, oh, shit. All right, somebody go back and get a shitload of dimes. Oh, my God, dude. I literally pissed myself every time that comes on. And at that point, I'm just pissing pure Tim McGraw, country western music superstar cologne.
You know, you talk about it, and one of my favorite scenes is that mayor that gets up when they're having their little town hall meeting in the church.
The big guy.
And he's like, in the prospector guy who can't say anything right, he's like, I just want to say that I am proud that these kids were here to hear authentic frontier gibberish.
Right, maybe that would be a fun show. I just want to see Mincy in a cowboy hat, the doctor.
Well, if I knew we could wear a cowboy hat, I brought mine.
I didn't want two guys in cowboy hats. Then I'd be the odd man out.
I could have brought you
a hat. I already knew I'd be a miracle if I could squeeze into the shirt. I've worn this since college. Where was I? She got the locket back with the black bomb in it. Deputy Joe tells Viola, her real name, because they're close now, that he's going to ride with her all the way to San Francisco because he's heard that there's a youthful, exuberant lad such as himself can live with an old, experienced whore like her there and be accepted. And she likes this. She's like, oh,
you whore.
You charmer, Joe Pepper. She's not that old. I guess in the Old West she's old because everybody dies so young. Yeah,
she's like 40s Old West.
You know what? I'm not going to beat you to death with this bag of dicks.
They made so many cracks about her age. I'm like, why did she even do this movie? This was right in between like Fatal Boobs 6 and Lethal Boobs 3.
She's like,
she was still working.
This was 2000. She looked phenomenal. She still looks phenomenal. Yeah. She's 60 now.
On my shoulder, a little Gene Simmons.
Not Gene Simmons, but the lawyer.
Well, I've got Gene Simmons now, like in his suit, and then I've got Kiss Gene Simmons with his tongue out, and I'm like, I'm partying, we're having fun, I can say anything, and he's got his tongue out, like, yeah, rock on. And then, like, old Gene Simmons from the reality show's like, I don't know who to listen to.
I'm thinking we're like Gene Simmons, like Runaway.
I'm thinking
like an evil stare, but he's supposed to be the good guy.
He still has
an evil stare.
We've lived our whole life with Peter Criss and Ace Frehley on our shoulders. Those guys are down for anything.
Let's do it.
Peter Chris is the one that told me to do the couple more squirts of the Tim McGraw cologne. I don't know, man. It might be too much. Do it. When did I ever steer anybody wrong? I got kicked out of Kiss. Do it. Well, she laughs. Oh, Joe Pepper, you sly dog. And then we cut to title cards telling us what happens to all these characters we've grown so close to over the last hour and a half.
Because have we?
I really want to know what happens to them.
I think you forget about half of the characters in this thing.
Yeah, I was reminded, like, oh, yeah. All right, well, here's what happened. You guys interested?
Yes.
Sarah.
No.
Finally made it to San Francisco.
Yes.
Where she married Billy Polk, and they had 14 kids.
Well, fantastic.
When he wasn't poking Sarah, which he apparently was constantly with 14 kids, Billy gave up the outlaw business and became a veterinarian to help small wounded animals.
Did he wound them himself?
Hey, Billy.
Business was booming. Hey, I shot Billy. Everything I saw.
I take out my outlaw urges on small cats and dogs, and then I heal them. Well, that's, I guess, good.
No, it's not.
By the way, I should mention, Tim McGraw, country western superstar Tim McGraw cologne is not tested on animals. It's tested on drunk idiots like me at the Piggly Wiggly at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Dude, the scientists are out watching me. Oh, we've got it. We've got it. We've got a subject.
Get the camera ready.
And so far, so good.
Wait a minute. He's
minute
walking
three.
Outside. Wait, what's he doing behind that Ford Escort? Is that the cologne or... Wait a minute.
Well,
what's that bottle?
The involuntary vomiting has begun.
Oh, look. There's a Mad Dog 2020 bottle in his cargo pants. That could be... It's a variable.
We had to throw this result out. It was just untested. There was no control response.
It was a road Mad Dog. Gotta loosen yourself up before you get to the party.
By the way, on my fishing trip, I had to explain the term an Atkins beer for, like, road beer.
Oh, let me guess, they didn't know who Tom Atkins was?
They did not.
Plebeians.
But that's what we do. We educate.
Whatever, man. Whatever. It's just... You want to hang around with guys who don't know who Tom Atkins is. That's your prerogative.
If you don't understand Atkins-esque, get out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Well, Deputy Joe similarly went into medicine. He became Dr. Pepper, PhD, specializing in sexual addiction. And I believe he also invented Dr. Pepper the soda. True fact. Look it up.
Well, technically, he was from
Google
Texas.
Google it.
Velvet, we have her left to talk about, right? She became a wealthy lingerie designer, and her creations were all the rage in San Francisco. We also learned that Mick, our 6'1" Amazon woman, was not shot dead. She was just sleeping. But all the other bad guys were indeed dead, except for the one bad guy, one of the ones we didn't know who he was. He got reincarnated as a head of cabbage.
Okay.
Is that about?
I don't know. It's just them trying to be funny, and
it was definitely just.
That's what they ended the film on, that joke. Like,
I know.
Like, it'd be funny if, like, one of the, like, Billy Polk was reincarnated as a saddle. Miss Wheeler riding it. Like that'd be. That'd be something.
Sure.
Apparently, that wouldn't be funny either.
No.
And so it ends the story of the Rowdy Girls.
I can't believe you picked this movie.
Well, you know, you guys are always want to do westerns.
But you know...
Come on.
I love this movie we dressed up for.
The writer for this film, one India Allen.
She's a porn star, right?
Well, yes, she is. But she was also a playmate.
Oh,
87, 88. However, she also did make it into Cigar Aficionado.
Huh?
You can learn. This dude is bringing it.
Well, keep bringing it. Tell me on
this.
Oh,
wait a minute.
What did she do with the cigar?
Well, I showed him some pictures.
Lewinsky did. Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
She was smoking it with some naked pictures.
She's
you showed
nice.
Him like a few hours ago, and you'd already forgotten about it.
I did.
Would you? Oh yeah, right. 2 hours ago.
She was good looking woman.
She texted me some of those.
That's my kind of research right there.
Really? Well, I knew it was written by Indy Allen. The name did ring a bell from those VHS tapes under the. Oh wow. Well, her strength certainly isn't storytelling. she's still with us? I believe
she
so.
Is.
I believe so.
Oh. Come on, man. This is
were
like
those
a...
taken during the Lewinsky?
Possibly, yes.
Yeah, it seems like a little too coincidental. Looked like a Churchill? 60 ring gauge?
Something.
She was doing something with that? That was not an AJ Fernandez.
She only prefers 84 ring gauge.
We actually talked about Sweet Tip cigars last episode. Naturally, Sweet Tip cigars. So yeah. We're fans of the Rowdy Girls.
No.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
We're not.
This is a waste of my time.
Look, as I said before the show started, partners, I've talked about him a lot on the show. He's one of my few creative heroes, muses, Mike Patton, singer. He did an interview once where he's talking about his process, and he's like, you know, you get this idea, and whether you like it or not, once you get going with it, it becomes this kind of mountain you're climbing. You're like, all right, everything else we do, we're stuck with this. We're going to make it, we're going to follow this through, this idea. When I pick a movie, for better or for worse, man, we're doing this, and it gets to a point where it's too late, and I can't back down, and so we're doing this. We're doing Rowdy Girls. So what do? Well, we got to pair it with a really good beer. That's going to help. We did. We're going to give it a really good cigar.
We did.
We're going to dress up in cute little outfits. We did.
Yes, we did.
We got to decorate the tree, if you will.
This is the most decoration that this movie has earned in ever.
And you're welcome.
You're welcome, listeners.
I guess.
Except to those two guys that we didn't remember were in the movie. I still feel bad about that.
They're like, fuck you, TNCC.
I listened to 4 hours for this? Actually, this is probably one of our shorter episodes ever. Should we just leave it rolling while we drink? Like, oh my God, it's a 2-hour episode from these guys. What are we at, like?
We're at two and a half.
That's still pretty short for us. Just leave it rolling. We'll just drink in silence like those outlaws. Check this out on YouTube. There's an hour of these assholes just drinking, not even saying a word to each other. Then Cade finishes his last beer and throws Cody on the table. No, Cade, not like this. All right, I'm sorry. Hey, at least you assholes only had to watch it once.
Welcome you watched to, it, what, 10 times?
Welcome to my personal hell. Well, you're not going to get the subtext of Rowdy Girls in one viewing.
Yeah, it was a tough job watching Shannon Tweed bathe in the stream 10 times.
15 times. Over and over.
I'm going to say something real quick.
And over again.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Maybe it's the age I'm at. Maybe it's when you've seen so many things at this age through different media. What would have enthralled me to no end as a youngster catching this late, none of this, the Miss Wheeler scene was the only scene that was,
hey.
And then that was it with her.
Mrs. Wheeler.
The whole Skinemax, grinding,
Well, that's just because we're kind of like halfway mature.
Sounds like a man who's been eating too many bags of dicks.
I would go with that explanation.
You guys enjoyed it?
No. It's a weird
when
thing
when I get tired of looking at a pair of women's breasts, it, drag me out back and
I'm
going to
tether you behind the horses.
No, it's
come on, let Cody ride a horse.
I don't know. It was like... I guess because the sex scenes were so PG. Not that I wanted to see like full insertion from Joe Pepper.
I want triple X rowdy girls. See.
No, no, nothing like that. I should have enjoyed. I feel like I should have enjoyed what this movie did offer. The reason this movie was made was to show boobs and
to loosely tell a little story.
It was no bikini car wash.
Guys. Yes, it was. I would even put it better than bikini.
Those movies gave us things to laugh about. They gave us. They throw a nerd in there. They throw some other, you know, tropes that we enjoy. This movie didn't really have a sense of humor. It was like boobs and they were like Indy Allen was trying to write a real Western. Maybe.
I don't know.
It was terrible. I'm sorry. It was just terrible.
I don't know.
It was a learning experience.
I do think it's a cool exercise in, you know, how your tastes develop. Or how your maturity kind of influences your taste.
We've established I have no taste. I have no maturity.
Well, I mean, I remember, like, and you're absolutely right. 20-year-old Tut would have just been gaga over this. I mean, come on, Shannon Tweet. 40-year-old Tut is like, hey, that's Shannon Tweet.
But then I started to question myself, like, did I ever like Shannon Tweet? Like,
yes.
But then I started thinking about, like, fatal boobs and, you know, Dangerous Nipples 6, and I'm like, yeah, I like those movies. You know, she's always like a psychiatrist who got too close to her patient.
Well, it's funny because if I'm totally honest, I'm like, all right, this is a movie that's kind of in the wheelhouse of our craziness and our drunkenness.
Like the bikini movies. Right.
But at the same time, I mean, we just came off in what I would consider a phenomenal show with The Devil's Candy, to where we just ripped into that and we just, like, dissected a whole bunch of cool cinematography, with direction, you know, intent.
And then
when you follow that up with a movie that has no cinematography, direction, and intent, you're kind of left with, what the fuck is this?
But you know what, guys? I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of like that about us. I don't want to do all Devil's Candies. I don't want to do all Once Upon a Time in the West.
I
like talking about cinematography and sound design as much as the next guy. But I also like a good bikini car wash movie, and I like a good... I think there's gems to be found. I just think sometimes you're going to...
Hey. Can't get them every time.
Sometimes you drill for oil and you come up. Yeah, you know.
But I also like it because it kind of, to me, this episode is kind of like a throwback to the Joe Bob Briggs type stuff.
This was definitely Joe Bob Briggs territory.
And I like that. I think that we're kind of like
we're all dressed like him.
I think we're kind of like a reincarnation of that. I've always kind of pictured us as that.
I never did until tonight.
Just a bit more cinema knowledge.
Well, a bit more
lubrication.
You're never going to let me forget this bag of dicks, are you?
No, never.
All right. Well, I hope you guys had fun listening as much as we had fun talking. It is always fun to talk, even if you don't like the movie.
Absolutely.
Try to have some fun with it. The Rowdy Girls, Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free. And if you don't have Amazon Prime, I think it's like $2.
Yeah.
Just watch the damn thing.
I might give this one a pass.
Give it something. You know, real quick before we sign off, I mentioned on the break to Yak Boy, I thought about bringing out the Buddha Remembrance this evening over the 2 weeks since our last show. I lost a loved one, and I was like, you know what, no, it's been a weird 2 weeks, but the boot is for a cultural, Fritz says it in the boot song, it's for our, you know, our cultural heroes, our musicians, our people that brought us, that we never knew who brought us, made our lives better from that, but I kind of tossed around with doing a personal boot of remembrance. And then Yakboy told today, just right before we filmed, Don Rickles
passed away.
Yeah. And just worth mentioning. We're not going to bring out the boot at this point in the evening, but man, he's always one of those comedians. You know, I love comedians. I've always been a kind of a.
I love Don Rickles.
But man, a lot of the older comedians, the humor just doesn't age well. And that Don Rickles stuff, especially his Johnny Carson, his talk show appearances, like when he. Nobody could bust balls like that guy.
No, and that's what he did.
And the expert.
And
the
guy
and the dudes whose balls he was busting
were cracking up,
tear-eyed laughing, yeah. Which is so hard to do. I mean, that guy was just one of a. I told him, he's like, you know, that generation had Don Rickles. We got Tom Arnold. We don't have a Don Rickles.
Yeah,
we don't have. I mean, the guy was just such a. They broke the mold with that guy.
And it's so interesting because I think that you made a great point to where, you know, he'd be busting your balls, and instead of getting mad or sensitive about it,
you're honored.
You're laughing your ass off.
You're laughing,
off
but you're also,
it.
I think, you're kind of honored that he's targeting you. That's so crazy.
I know, and he would do it in such a way to where, you know, it was funny where I was telling Cody on my fishing trip, I had this guy, he's like a little 21, 22 year old pup, and he's just busting my balls on it, and I'm like, damn it, I'm paying you fucking hundreds of dollars to guide me, and I'm not paying you to bust my balls. But then, like, that's where the brilliance of a Don Rickles was, is that he'd have me laughing.
Man, you had a guide?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Where were you fishing? The Amazon? The Nile?
No.
Oklahoma. I can't believe you guys made it out of there in one piece. This guide must have been amazing.
No, he wasn't. But he broke my dry spell on fishing, though.
Was he with you the whole time?
No, just one day.
Oh, okay. I thought he was like with you for like a week.
No.
Like John Voight and Anaconda?
No.
Oh, precious.
No, he just basically...
There's literally a 7-Eleven right there. Like we could probably do this on our own.
No. He just basically showed us where the fish were, taught me how to fish, fly fish.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, he was a unique character, man. I love one-of-a-kind dudes, and he was one-of-a-kind guy. And Cody mentioned, too, you know, the guy did some interesting things like Casino and...
he was perfect casting.
Would you quickly counter judgmental, like, I know you never saw it. I saw him in it. I've watched enough of it to know how good he was in it. He's definitely boot worthy, but we're just too lazy to go get that boot.
But you know, like you said, you know, he's just one of those guys. I mean, he gave everybody. Didn't matter who they were.
And Johnny Carson did not have thin skin. Or he did have thin skin. Like, you couldn't just go on there and make fun of Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Or Frank Sinatra. Like, he would fucking roast Frank Sinatra, but you don't poke fun at Frank. No, and those were the ones I loved, when he would pick on the dudes that, like...
There was a great thing when, like, Rickles was out doing one of his things, and Sinatra comes on stage. He's like... And without skipping a beat... He's like, Frank, come on up. Make yourself at home. Hit somebody.
He roasted Nixon when Nixon was in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
And there are very few people that get that sort of, they transcend and they go across everybody. Yeah. They make, and you're like, you know what? You know, and the only one I can think of, it was also kind of in that same age range. I mean, it's a little bit later, was like a George Carlin.
Carlin?
He gave everybody shit.
Yeah, and you couldn't get mad at him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what he was saying, you laughed at it, but then, like, every really good comedian, you laughed at it, but then you're like, yeah, that's true.
There's always truth in the jab.
But it's funny though, because he was like on the end of the comics before the shock jock comics got in there, before the Dice Clays, the Kinnisons, and all that. Yeah. You know, even today, you know, I look at, you know, Louis C.K. and his popularity, and I'm just like, you take the word fuck out of their arsenal, and you know, you've removed a good 60% of their material. Cade style. You remove that, you know, F-bomb. You know, Rickles didn't rely on that at all. I mean, he was so sharp and so smart. Quick with his sharpness. Yeah. It was amazing to watch him work.
And So definitely, we don't have the boot, but let's take a drink from Mr. Rickles. Yak Boy and I have poured a little bit of scotch. Tut, much like Bill Poker, pussied out on scotch. I'll tell you what, I'm down to the nub on this. Scotch with the Bel Artes, really nice. And the cream has creeped back in the very end. I like the cigar a lot.
Well, I'm just glad that none of y'all said, oh my God, the butter on this is so so eccentric. I feel like I
never
eating,
missed it. Didn't get the, I did get Eggo waffles with maple syrup.
You son of a bitch.
No, I was so excited about the possibility of both butter and sweet cheddar, but I didn't get any, either one of those.
Sweet cheddar.
Sweet cheddar. Todd, give us some links, buddy.
All right. Hit us up on Twitter at TNCCcast. Follow us on Facebook, Tuesday Night Cigar Club. You can hit us on Instagram, TNCC_podcast. And check out the YouTube channel, Tuesday Night Cigar Club. Subscribe to all of them. Follow us. Comment.
You know what? We get more and more little comments on Instagram and things of people listening and really digging it. I would take it as a personal favor if you'd go on iTunes, and because the more reviews we get on there, it can open up some things to us. Rate us. You know, give us 10 stars. 9 if you're skittish. And write a little review about what you like about the show.
Also, if you're doing
not
any,
what you don't like about the show.
No, keep your mouth shut. If you're doing some Amazon shopping, then go
Did
to
you get
the
all
Tuesday
that straightened
night.
Out? I got some electronic mail the other day that said we had some issues with our Amazon.
I'm not going to say I have it straightened out. But in the meantime, if you're going to do some shopping, click on the Amazon ad on the Tuesday Night Cigar
Also,
Club.
If you're
going
to do some cigar shopping, click on the famous smoke shop ad on our website and go that way to get the best deals on cigars.
Like Even if you're not doing the samplers that the page links to, you can go to any other page
go
and we'll still get a little bit of credit for that.
Absolutely. Yak Boy just made a stocked up his humidors this week. From Famous, got some good deals.
Yeah,
so I encourage you to go there. I mentioned earlier we are going to have a big show for our 50th episode,
and we are reviewing another Troma pick.
No. We are going to be reviewing another Shannon Tweed pick, Fatal Vagina.
Oh God,
six. This time it'll really get you.
It couldn't even be four.
She's a lawyer who, God forbid you sleep with her, you're dead meat. No, we're going to be doing some, here's the thing, 50th doesn't sound like such a big deal. I mean, it's a nice round number. But podcast-wise, I mean, a lot of these people pump out a half-hour podcast, so 50's a drop in the, you know. When you think about us, 50 episodes, that's probably almost 200 hours of content we've put into this thing.
Yeah, that's about 200 hours of content.
So if we did an hour show, that'd be 200 episodes. So let's just go ahead and call this our 200 episode extravaganza. We're all going to wear our Tim McGraw cologne. And like I said, we're going to have...
You're just
going to
watch us sit around for 3 hours rubbing our eyes like, I can't see anything.
I can't see.
We live in here with all the cigar smoke and everything else, but that the Tim McGraw is too much.
It's going to be like the very first episode of Tuesday Night Cigar.
I'm going to get like the absinthe fountain of Tim McGraw cologne in the middle of the table.
Why is it smoking me?
Why is it talking to us? Hey, it's good enough for Faith Hill. It's good enough for us. But no, and we may very well have a special guest, so I'm going to be a little more careful with my selection for that one. We're going to put together we're going to fire on all cylinders for that one. Whiskey, beer, tequila.
Fireworks.
Vodka. Fireworks. This place can handle fireworks.
Guns.
Hey, we should probably introduce guns at some point. I know Tuttle's up for it. But no, it's going to be a big show, and a big thank you to all you who've been with us from the beginning. 50 is a big one. And then not long after that, we're going to have a short film that we've been working on that's going to blow your fucking socks off. So we've been working hard on that. And good things. It's a good time to be a member of the Tuesday Night Cigar Club.
Good times. Good times.
It's a good time to just dig in and eat a big bag of dicks. You guys with me? I brought one for our after show snack. You guys are going to be munching on that.
Oh, God.
Well, thank you guys for dressing up. I appreciate it.
Still want? You should have told me I could have worn a hat. I would have been.
I didn't want to be the one guy without a hat. I could
have brought you a hat.
I can't wear hats.
Totally got a hat.
I got a weird shaped head. That's a true story.
I got a sweet hat, man.
May the wings of liberty never lose a feather. As always, we'll see you next time. Sayonara, motherfuckers.
To learn more about the time I found myself naked and lost out in the wide open plains, where I was eventually rescued by a helpful Native American spirit guide slash pimp, who quickly, perhaps a little too quickly, gave me the new name Dances With Only a G-String On. Please, watch my online documentary, Shaking My Tail Feathers, how an innocent drive through the desert led to the worst fucking 3 years of my life, by Keith A. Howell. I'm warning you right now, though, folks, it is a real tearjerker. In the meantime, to learn more about the cigars and libations enjoyed on tonight's episode, you can visit www.famous-smoke.com, www.ajfcigars.com, and www.edelbergsbeer.com. For more on O'Brien's Irish Pub, the live music leader in Central Texas, please visit O'BriensTemple.com and download their free smartphone app, where you'll find full beer listings including over 40 on tap, menu information, and a calendar of upcoming live events. To listen and purchase music heard on tonight's program, check out www.fritzbeermusic.com. Thank you for listening to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club podcast. This is Keith A. Howell saying until next time, friends, unless we see you sooner at the pub. So keep it smoky, and for God's sake, keep it ballsy as well.